This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details. FUBAR!
Yeah, hello, I'm Richard Herring.
Hello.
That was Lulu Sanders doing a warm-up there, but if you just said that at the very beginning, we could cut it out, you know,
got
this isn't life.
Radio warm-up exercises,
Is
Richard.
That important?
Yes.
I haven't done that. We should make sure these microphones are near our faces. That's one thing we should have done to begin with. But, you know, who needs professionalism? I hope you've had a good week. We've been having fun. So here comes a record. It is the White Stripes. We're always playing them.
Straight in.
I like the White Stripes. They're all right, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
And this is the Seven Nation Army. Imagine that, an army from seven nations. What that would be like, Lou. Have a think about that.
Pop it on.
Are you already drinking? You're already...
coconut juice.
But we haven't even started.
I'm on a detox.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders. Ripping you a new ear hole.
Oh.
That never gets old. So, hello. I've just started the thing again, I think. Let me stop that. Oh, I'm a genius. Oh, phew. I've got to pray this because this will get us out of that.
Hey, it's just our first day.
That's the kind of mistake you make on your first day. This is our very first FUBAR radio show. In fact, some of it is because one of the things that's coming up later on in the show
is
from our very first day. So I did that on purpose. So that would be a clever link.
Do you know what? We're getting a best of already.
We are.
Some would say it's the end.
Yeah, I am speaking.
Do we get into the microphone? It's just basic, professionalism.
Hi, guys.
But
hi,
we
guys.
We did a pilot version of this show that was so funny that the FUBAR radio said it couldn't go out because it would make the other shows look bad. It would make Justin Lee Collins look bad if that went out, they said.
It would be
and
the
we
worst
wouldn't want that. So we did a pilot one and we interviewed Vicky Stone, who is another of the FUBAR DJs, disc jockeys on this boat that rocked without
the
rape. we're like pirate DJs here. The disc jockeys, that's what I call us. So that will be coming up. It's a shorter interview with Vicky Stone than we're used to. But don't worry, we'll be packing the show with all sorts of other stuff. It'll be amazing.
What else is coming up?
We've got wats in the bag, as I call it. Wats in the bag, which we'll see how that's going. I think it might be worth...
It's a good one this week.
All right. Might be worth getting some wet wipes, I think, for this show. We've got my blog, of course, coming up. That's very exciting. Dickie's Diary, some people
boring.
Call that.
Boring.
That's a boring bit because there's no Lou Sanders in it revealing sordid details about her personal life. There's just me revealing quite boring. I can't remember what it is. I recorded it earlier in the week. That's going to be very exciting for me. There is, of course, our guest, Vicky Stone, as I mentioned. That was a very entertaining
wasn't it?
Do you remember?
Just a romp through the mind.
Just talk into the microphone. Stop looking at me and talk into the microphone.
In the microphone.
I can hear in my face that you're in my ear holes.
It's not turned up. Why don't you turn my microphone off instead?
It's right up to the top. It's right up. We don't have teenage poetry because I keep forgetting to bring in my book.
But I do have.
What?
It's better.
Is it better?
Take a book,
of course. Lovely take a book. We're going to be looking at the news, and it's quite exciting for us because usually we record on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
Due to my hectic schedule, I'm on tour.
And also mine. I'm really
well, not
as
so
well.
Much yours. I'm on tour with a show called We're All Going to Die. It's coming all around the country. Tomorrow I'm in Didcot, for example. That's sold out. On Saturday I'm in Hull. There's some tickets left for Hull. And on Sunday I'm in Cardiff. So if all our listeners in Hull and Cardiff were to come and see that would probably pack out two or three extra seats. They're selling well, but there are some seats left for those too. We're recording this on Thursday, so we could actually do topical jokes about the news.
Sure.
Look, a new Maddie suspect attack five Brit girls. We don't really want to do. That's the headlines of the Mirror today. We're not really going to do any jokes about that. You can get in touch with the show. You can tweet me at Herring1967. You can
tweet him.
Oh, that's nice. And how do we tweet Lou Sanders if we wanted to?
Tweet me.
If I wanted to send pictures of my exposed stomach to you, where would I send them?
Oh, sure. Do send them in. At Lou Sanders.
At Lou Sanders. You can email me at herring@fubarradio.com. If you have anything you want to say about any of the questions we've asked, or just if you're listening to the show, you can just email us and let us know you're listening. Then it just gives us an indication of how hard we should be trying on this. Because if no one's listening, we'll just take it a bit easier than this. But we're assuming there are millions of people, so full on.
I mean, what? Ha- hasn't anyone emailed in yet?
They have, yeah. There are loads. Loads of three people have done. We'll mention that in the next show. We have to be careful because, confusingly, we've already recorded the next show and we have to keep on making... It's good to be honest, and we have to make sure that we don't refer to the hilarious things that Ray Peacock said next week. But he'll be our guest next week. I wonder what crazy stuff he'll come up with. There's no way of knowing. My next show in Edinburgh is going to be called Lord of the Dance Settee. Because when I was a child, I thought the lyrics to that. Do you remember that hymn? Dance, yeah. Wherever you may be. For I am the Lord of the Dance Settee. Yeah, you're good. You don't seem to remember. You thought most of the words were Lord in that. Lord. Oh, Lord, which is good lyrics. But I genuinely thought as a child, as did many other people, I think, that the lyrics to that were Lord of the Dance Settee. And I imagined Jesus was up in heaven on a big settee going, and people were trying to get on the settee and he was dancing on it. And he's going, no, get off. I am the Lord of the Dance Settee. So that is my, I thought it was quite a good title for an Edinburgh show. It's if you are old enough to remember Fist of Fun, you'll remember I did do that as a routine in Fist of Fun.
No.
Are you old enough? It might have been this morning, Richard or Judy. It was a long, long time ago. But the nice thing about my career is that quite a few people who were fans of me in the early days are dead now. So and a lot of whole new ones have been born.
Yeah.
And so you can do the same jokes again. But it's partly what the show's about. But I'm kind of interested in wondering if people at home have any other childhood or adult mishearings or misunderstandings phrases.
Oh, is that?
Yes, that's what it's about. So
that's what I tweeted, actually.
That is what you tweeted. So we'll be getting. We've already had loads. We've had loads in already. So things like.
Hang on, I'm going to try a new presenting style.
Yeah.
Where I only chime in when I've got something to say.
That's okay. Don't change the winning formula. People, the three people listening to this love this.
Okay.
Andrew Hume thought it ain't our fox mum, instead of it ain't our hot mum. I don't know how I got that from that, but that was what it was supposed to be about. There was Michael Upton's mate, Honest Not Me, used to think Mull of Kintyre's lyric, Mist Rolling In From the Sea, was me strolling in from the sea, I guess. But it's not that good.
I tell you what, I've done some hilarious ones, but I can't remember any of them.
Matthew Latham said hambag instead of handbag, and I said hamburg instead of handbag, so that ruined that. Hambag instead of handbag. No peach and pears for you instead of Sinead's nothing compares to you. My ex-kids call Nicola... I don't know what that is saying, but I'm not going to read that out just in case I say something very offensive. You can trick me because I don't really read these until we get to them. So do you want to do a quick where's in the bag? Because people love that. Shall we?
Oh, hang on. Can I read one out?
Yeah. Have you got
it? It's friend of the show, Andy McAfee.
Oh, yeah.
He's just tweeted to you, even though.
Oh, you're reading mine. That's fine.
Well, it's just come up in my feed because I follow him as well. I thought it was I'll Try to Love You, Shane. Hang on, what's that from?
I don't know. So you've got to look at them. Don't chip in if you've got a rubbish one. You say, oh, I've got one. It's rubbish.
The family was called Shane and we didn't like each other. I don't get it.
I don't. There's a few of them I don't get. But
we'll
try and work them out and talk them. Yeah, try and just think in your head first, is this worth seeing? I'm talking a lot. You can read those and then try and work out whether they're worth doing. But let's play What's in the Bag,
Lou. Great. It's a goodie.
It's a good one. Okay.
What's in your bag?
It's a very popular... I'm playing it. You're talking all over it. And people are trying to listen to it.
What's in your bag?
I'm going to put the things down so people
can't hear us talk.
Too late. Okay. It's a boots bag today.
These are kind of mingled into one. So
okay.
It's two things we have to guess.
It's two things mingled. Oh, fuck's sake.
I need to be able to... I'm very close to your face now. I need to speak into the mic.
It's all right. You just pushed your breast against my hand.
Not.
You did.
It's not that big.
You did. I felt a little bit... And I thought, is this what's in the bag?
I'm turning your feet away and it's really not. Small.
There's a piece of paper. There's something disgusting in there. Yeah. Oh no, I hate this because it's. I don't want to. It's like some paper with your spit on it.
No, it's
is
not.
Is it some kind of juices that have come from. Oh, what is it?
Smell your hand, Ma.
It doesn't smell that bad. It doesn't smell of much. What is it? Could you bring tissue? If you're going to do this, could you bring tissues in?
I have to think of the thing. thing every week.
Well, I know, but it's disgusting. What is it?
You're disgusting.
Is that peach?
Your
peach,
attitude, quite frankly, is disgusting.
I'm a professional broadcaster. I used to be on television, not on the internet radio.
Okay, lick your little digits.
I don't want to lick them. There could be anything.
It's marmalade. It's fine. You're lucky. You're so lucky because I was going to get a sheep's heart.
And what was the other thing in it? There was some paper.
Oh, an HMV receipt. One for the nostalgia bag. You lost.
Well, I was unlikely to get the HMV receipt. I've got to use these fingers to press buttons and stuff, Lou. That's the problem. If you have any childish childhood and adult mishearings, misunderstandings, do email them in. We'll read them out on, not the next show, because that's already been recorded, but we'll do the one after that. herring@foobarradio.com. If you've got some good ones, send them in.
Be reading out stuff that doesn't make sense in the second hour.
Well, you're good. That's good. Well, no, I think a few of these we'll have to try and decipher between the two of us. So you have to concentrate. So that means not being on your phone and tweet. You can wait. There's literally a record coming up in 40 seconds. If you could just wait until...
Richard, I was checking, the tweets have come in.
Well, all right, that is okay, that's allowable. But so we're going to crack on. I've got Seven Nation Army again. I could play that again because of my earlier mistake. It's come back into the thing, but I don't think we will do that. Let's play. It is our first day. Let's play Arcade Fire with their interesting song. Oh, for fuck's sake, it hasn't worked. There we go. It's come on now.
That was.
I've got like marmalade all over this thing.
Yeah.
I pressed the thing and it just made a beep.
Them's the break.
This is everything's going wrong for me today. But so yes, you can email herring@foobarradio.com, tweet us at herring1967 or at Lou Sanders. Lots of fun stuff coming. We're going to find out what Lou's been up to this week after you have listened to the mandatory music that we must play, and I have gone and washed marmalade off of my stinking hands. Thank you very much.
Jingle massive.
There's genuinely marmalade on that.
Jingle massive.
What the hell is happening with it? What the? I haven't done anything. This isn't my fault.
Jingle massive.
Is this the marmalade? Is that the marmalade that's doing that? Anyway, it's all. Everything's play. Everything's looped. I think so. We need to have a look at that. Technical people. I'm just pressing the buttons. This is a disaster because Atalia, our usual producer, is not at all important. She doesn't matter. She's unimportant.
She's a great.
But
girl.
So she can't do this because we're doing it at a different time. And this, we've got the executive producer. Simon is here, and everything's messing up and looking rubbish. But so we have to try and pull this round.
To be honest.
Because everything just keeps on. Look, you play this. I'll do it again. Let's see if it happens again.
I mean.
Jingle massive.
I think it's all on loop.
No.
Yeah, so everything's on loop. Someone. That's not me. That's whoever that guy is. I don't even know. It's all different people. I tell you, I'm never coming in on Thursday afternoon again.
I'm going to start throwing marmalade around the studio. I've got an idea.
There's marmalade on my presenter button.
Okay, listen.
What's your thing gone?
Because.
Let's rescue this.
Because everybody is on a loop. Everything. Yeah. Jingles, songs. Mm. We don't need songs. I can sing them.
Okay.
We don't need jingles. I can sing them.
What's
okay?
This?
Oh, actually, I've got some radio ideas. Do you want
to? Yes, I would like to hear. Do you want to do them now or should we do them later? Should we find out what have you been up to this week, Lou? Let's save them up for late when we're really desperate.
Well, I went to Cornwall. It's the best. And
Cornwall?
Yes, have you heard of it?
I have. I'm from Somerset, so I know Cornwall is. The people who live down there are different and strange.
The most people.
In a good way.
They're the best.
What were you doing in Cornwall?
Seeing my buddies, and one of them has a child.
Oh.
Could you imagine? I'm old enough. And he's like two. His name's Sonny. He's the cutest kid. We were teaching him to go, I am your father. So everywhere he went, he was going, I am father. He's not very good at talking yet.
Okay. So Susanna has got in touch to say someone's probably already suggested this, but referred to entire Adam and Joe's eggcorn section. So that I think she's accusing us of stealing that from Adam and Joe. But that's not what we're doing. Fuck you. Well, they can't say that.
Why don't you go and fuck yourself? Have you thought about that?
Arthur Kuyper says, I thought it was Sing Old Salmon to the King of Kings in Sing Hosanna. Remember? Sing Hosanna. Sing Old Salmon. Sing. And they're all coming in now. James Pengley said, I used to think there was a place called Moa Meadow where one man and his dog used to go. Moa Meadow.
Yeah.
Here comes some more. You can read some of these out, Lula.
Can I?
Hot off the presses.
What a responsibility.
Do you want to read them first and check they're good?
No,
or just
I
want
just
to go
for
in?
It. I'm just going for it. Okay, this one is from Andy Moult. Hello, it wasn't me by Shaggy. when It Wasn't Me by Shakira was out, my friend's 9-year-old son was convinced that there was a line in it that said, picture this, we're both cupcaking. And we didn't correct him. Oh, that's so cute. Do you like how I sung it as well?
David Groom says, I'm your penis, I'm your power, I'm your desire. I don't know what that refers to. I think that might have just been a direct message that's gone wrong. Meredith thought Mr. Mina was Mr. Mina. It's all right.
Yeah.
What have you got next?
I always thought the catchphrase used by the Turtles in the popular children TV programme,
yes,
children's actually, were Teenage Mutant Hero Turtles, was, yeah, thanks, Thatcher. It was Cowabunga, dude. What? Hang on, I'm going to start reading them out.
Why don't you read them to yourself first and then just see?
Reading out is easy.
But Desmond Decker's Israelites obviously has many, famously has many of these. Bob Dowling thought it said, wake up in the morning, bake beans for breakfast. I don't know if anyone's ever said that one. Those ears are alight is the
I thought we were reading them out first, Richard.
That was a good one. I thought that was interesting because that was a different one than you usually get. I used to think, Luke Boardman says, I used to think TLC song Chasing Waterfalls went Go Go Jason Waterfalls. Which is nice. And someone called Jason Waterfalls who would go, 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 go. What else happened in Cornwall?
Oh, thanks
for
asking.
You upset a child.
You exploited a child's
gullibility.
he goes to this really nice little yurt school.
Okay.
With the nursery. And it's outdoors, so they always have to go outdoors for 40 minutes a day, even if it's hailstoning. And everyone's really middle class, and they make their own vegetables. And this one woman plays classical music to her dogs when the dog's waiting in the car.
All right.
And she's all very like, oh, yes, yes. Like, really like, oh, I'm really holistic. But then we caught her really shouting at her dogs. She didn't know we were there, and she was really embarrassed.
Oh, wow.
A very working class attitude. I went to a party for the
21-year-olds. When was this? When did you do this? Is it the weekend?
Up to Monday.
Okay.
Sunday, Monday. Were loads of 21-year-olds, and I got told off.
For trying to sexually abuse them all.
Well, no, I was commemorated for that. No, I didn't touch anyone. But I was really hungry. It was 3 a.m. There's no, you can't just pop to the garage in Cornwall.
Yeah.
So I got told off by a 21-year-old for stealing a slice of bread.
You should be told off.
Cupboard.
Theft is wrong.
Rock and bread roll. It was really embarrassing. Really.
You live quite a life, don't you? Go quite.
I've been having a nice time.
Because I don't, you know, I'm married and, you know, I'm 46. So yeah. I'm living my life vicariously through you.
Mm.
It's, you know, I'm quite glad that I'm 46 and married when I do that. But you're like the holodeck of the Starship Enterprise from the Star Trek The Next Generation, obviously, I'm talking about, where I can just be Lou Sanders for a second. In this little room, I can be Lou Sanders.
And then wash it off.
Yeah.
My friend
spit it out and wash it off.
I went with my friend Georgie,
yes,
who's the funniest, right? And she went back home, right? And then she went back to meet her mum, and she phoned me because her mum was on a bus in Brixton,
yeah.
And her mum's quite sort of like a bit middle class, you know, like got a posh voice a bit, and a bit like me. And she was on a back of a bus in Brixton, saying like they've got four cats. The blacks and the whites, two are white, two are blacks. Okay. And so mum was on the phone to her dad going, oh, the blacks aren't going to like that. They're not going to like, put the blacks outside then. And she had to swipe the phone off. Ooh, that sounded embarrassing.
So we are still here. I don't know if you're listening at herring@foobarradio.com, at Foobar Radio. Don't tweet them. At herring1967 or at Loose Honours. If you have any more mishearings. I used to love assembly hymns. Did you have? I don't know if they do this anymore because of political correctness gone mad.
Well, no, the Jehovah's Witnesses would sit in a different room.
Right. Okay.
Assembly.
So you're not allowed to sing hymns. But the other one was When I Needed a Neighbour. Do you know that hymn? When I needed a neighbour, were you there?
Were you there?
When I need, which is a good song, and it's kind of one of the more popular ones because it was jaunty. Lord of the Dance was jaunty, so we enjoyed that.
Yes.
And oh, Jesus, I have promised to set thee to
thee. Were you excited, boom, boom, little face?
Well, it was more upbeat. There was two different versions of that, though. There was oh, Jesus, I have promised, and oh, Jesus, I have promised to serve thee to thee, and which wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Because you know, we're kids. You should give kids stuff that's fun to do.
Yeah.
And so, Lord of the Dance set, he was fun. Jesus, I have promised. The correct version was fun. Were you there? Air was fun. But also it was fun because there was a line that went, which is about Jesus on the route to Calvary, you know, with his cross, going, I was cold, I was naked, were you there? I was cold. And we all laughed at that because it had the word naked in it. But also, you know, why would you want someone to be there if you were naked when you were, say, 8 years old? That you think, if I was naked, I'd be going, I hope you weren't there. Yeah. But you were there. Oh, my God. You would have seen my little winky. It was like Jesus's winky would have been on full display. his holy winky. Well, they've all got at least one hole in them.
Wow. You thought it through.
I have. Katie Hodgson has some popular necessarily.
Radio.
My sister said chimney instead of chimney. We all did these things. Then again, she thought nerds were nostril plugs, not sweets. Did you ever have nerds? That was a bit of that wasn't really my generation, but I did as a young man. I still ate lots of sweets, so I'm aware of the nerd. It was an American thing, really, wasn't it? Nerds. I used to have
them. I'll be honest. I'm out of my depth with the nerds.
Do you remember
the nerd sweet? I had nerds. Sure, I had nerds. I had went out with nerds.
Well, that's true. Gary Hocking. That's what I would call him if I was at school with him. I don't know what this refers to. Kim Wilde's Cucumber Ridge. What is it, Kim Wilde's? Come on, you're young. You're meant to know these things just because it's from the 1980s.
Richard, do you know me? I don't know anything.
Nick says, wake me up before your cocoa.
That's sweet.
That's quite nice.
That's quite sweet.
These are all quite 1980s. So anyway, keep those coming in. Adam Buxton has got in touch. Don't suppose we were the first to do it, though, he says. I give Richard my generous blessing to have a go himself.
Oh, that's nice. Have a go.
I never listened to his show anyway. It was rubbish.
Oh, I love it.
Adam and Joe. Are Adam and Joe on FUBAR Radio?
Are they heck?
No, they're not. They're in Hollywood making films.
Losers.
So, yeah, come back when you are on FUBAR Radio, my friends. I think we'll go for a song break.
Hang on, are we playing it?
I think we're going to play it, and then we'll play it twice. It's 5 minutes, 8 seconds long, so that is actually, if it plays twice, 10 minutes, 8 seconds. I think during this, a man will come in and turn off the repeat function. But we'll see. You know, maybe he won't, and maybe we'll just be forced to do it manually. That's okay. I'm a professional. I can deal with anything.
Sure you can. Looks like you already are.
It's all right. We're having a nice time. So we'll be back with more of the same. We're coming up with some of my blog. We'll be in the next section. And there is still marmalade on these buttons. It's going to be very annoying for the next presenter.
Richard Herring on FUBAR Radio.
Literally trying to wipe marmalade off this red button as I go. And so now I've used my own spit to wipe the marmalade off of that button.
Richard Herring on FUBAR Radio.
Yes.
Anything else to say?
No, I think the way you're treating this, I think I might just do it on my own from now on, Lou. I think it's for the best.
I'll certainly miss the money. Okay, I've got some emails to read out. Hi, Rich.
Hello.
When I was about 4, I used to think God's name was Peter after hearing, thanks, Peter God, at the end of prayers.
Thanks, Peter God. Thanks be to God. I've got that one. That's good. It's good when we get them. David P. says, once at work, someone slapped me because I asked for microfiche and they went off asking for Michael Fish. True story. Although, actually, I was just thinking about Adam Buxton. Mm-hmm. He's been tweeting me. And the guy who originally tweeted this and dobbed me into Adam Buxton, so Adam Buxton is then tweeted, didn't I do Lord of the Dance Settee in the 1990s on TV? So anyone copied anyone, it's fucking Adam Buxton copying me.
Now.
So he can go screw himself with a tiny little hairy hobbit-faced dick. I hope he doesn't listen to this.
I think that's a bit much. He's doing really well in his career. He's a nice guy.
Is that all you do? Is that why you're not so nice to me?
Yeah. That's good. You could do nothing for me.
Jack says, just remember you can't say happiness without saying penis. That is my joke.
Yeah.
Good. What have you got? What else have you got there?
Another religious one from. Oh, by the way, the last one was from.
Yeah, say
who's it. Will McCaldle. I think I said that completely wrong.
Are you sure that was who it's from and that's not whose name is across the top of the thing? That's definitely
from.
This one. Okay.
Unless it's from Herring. No, it's from Herring.
Because that's a mistake you'll make next week. You're not even going to listen to me. You'll still go ahead and make that mistake, even though I've told you about it.
That's a very good point.
Dear.
This one's from Mark Lancaster.
Yeah.
I nearly read out his email address.
Just read it out. Let's all email him pictures of our penises.
It's quite a funny one.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, he said, no, I mean his email address, but also this. I was notified, blah, blah, blah. I can never understand why at the end of prayers in assembly we said army, as in for thine is the kingdom forever and ever, army.
Ah,
amen.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good.
You know, Simon came in and told us what time we had to go through till.
Do I ever? Yeah.
The problem with that system is I'd forget what he said.
I was listening this
time.
Yeah,
what did he say?
To the top of the hour.
He did.
Oh, he said to the top of the hour.
He spoke in my ears.
Then he said.
I heard him in my ears.
5-2. Oh, I have to put my earphones on.
This is the most terrible radio show
this whole time. I've not been wearing my earphones.
I'm going to also play. I'm going to do, because I've promised the blog in this section, so I have to do some work on that and work out mathematically what we're doing. But the woman I used to work says Jonathan Simcox says, this computer has gone completely haywire instead of haywire. I think that is more like what Adam Buxton used to do. I'm asking for childish misunderstandings rather than adults who...
That's got a smack of Buxton about it, if ever I knew it.
Brendan Donison says, my German mother-in-law would always go to a hairdresser's for a cut and blowjob. That is true. but she knew what a blowjob was, but she still went there. Whoa. That's what I've heard.
Yes.
I'm saying your mother-in-law... No, I'm not saying anything
short,
of the kind.
Short back and round the sides, if you know what I mean.
Have you got anything else? They seem to have hundreds of... What about the emails saying how great my show is?
Oh, yeah, there are, actually.
Yeah, what about those?
Well, I didn't think I'd read them out. Hi, Richard. Saw your show in Norwich on Saturday. It was excellent.
Yeah. Oh,
and
come
then in
on.
Brackets,
don't read these ones out.
And then in brackets, joking.
Oh.
This is from Dan Howard. When I was a kid, my parents got the same guy, right? So he likes your show, so... You know, it gives you some barometer.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, my parents got this thing called tweenies. Rhymes with penis. Tweenus. Oh, tweenus. I always called it a tweenus. It wasn't until I was about 16 at my friend's house that I worked out how weird it was, because he'd say to me, where's my CD? Over there, I'd say, on a tweenus. Do you mean sideboard? Oh, yeah, I have heard them called that too. To this day, my dad denies ever calling a sideboard a tweenus, even though they called it that for freaking years.
That is unbelievable.
So he's doing it with his kid now.
All right, that's a good idea. We will be back with more of this banter, hilarious banter, and reading stuff out that you've sent in. But now, for the moment, let's listen to this week's Richard Herring's serious blog. It's not called Dickie's Diary, whatever else you've heard.
Oh, Dickie, what's in your diary? Oh, Dickie, what's in your diary?
Here are a couple more blogs for your delight. Hope you enjoy them. I had a dream the other night in which a voluptuous, scantily clad woman was making sexual advances towards me. I'm sorry, I told her, I am married. She was insistent, but I showed her my wedding ring and shrugged my shoulders, and she left a disappointed, voluptuous, scantily clad woman. How gallant and romantic I am, you must be thinking, and how much I must love my wife, which is true, but when I woke up and found out the whole thing had just been a dream, I was furious. Dreams are the one place I'm allowed to do whatever I want, but I'd fail to take advantage of my free pass. Marriage can imprison my body, but it cannot imprison my mind. That's what I signed up for. How could my dream self let me down like this so fastidiously, remembering his vows even when I wasn't even awake? Why didn't the voluptuous, scantily clad woman tell me it was just a dream? Why didn't I work that out? The fact a voluptuous, scantily clad woman was making advances to me should have been clue enough for me, because that never happens. Think, Dream Herring, think. I'm not talking about myself there. I believe that all dreams are carried into our brains by a magical Dream Herring. He swims in one ear, poots out a dream from his magical anus. It's an actual fact that herrings communicate by farting. This one applies to me as well as all fish. And then swims on to the next sleeping person to guff out a surreal fantasy for them. That's why people often say that something far-fetched smells a bit fishy. That is the reason. More importantly, now I know the voluptuous, scantily clad woman is just a sprite of my imagination. Why won't she come back and have another try? Ever since this happened, I've just been dreaming about having to sit my maths A-level again. There hasn't even been a saucy-looking invigilator to brighten up the terrible monotony of my dreamscape. In reality, I'm very glad to be settled down, not just because my wife is the most amazing woman alive and has brought me a happiness that I never thought I'd have, but because I couldn't be bothered all the hassle of dating. Seduction is such a difficult and embarrassing thing to attempt. I don't miss the desperation or the rejection. I was pretty bad at knowing the right things to say and do. Not as bad as Van Gogh, though. His technique to get the woman he fancied to fancy him back was to slice off one of his ears and then send it to her in the post. Most women prefer flowers or chocolates.
But for 1 in 1,000 women, the surprise 7-year arriving by mail is the key to their heart. It's a bit of a gamble. 959 times out of 1,000, you're going to end up alone and finding it hard to put on your glasses. But that one time, the woman will open the envelope and say, "What's this? A 7-year? Brilliant. I've always wanted one of these. I'm definitely going to shag whoever sent me this. He shouldn't be difficult to find." Be warned, though, this is a technique you can really only use twice at most. Actually, probably just use it once, because the second woman you try it on is going to say, "You've done this before, haven't you? This is your regular chat-up line. I'm not falling for that like that other ear slag." And here is the second of my readings for this week. "No man is an island," said the poet John Donne, "except when he's in the bath," added comedian Norman Lovett. Alas, Donne has been dead for more than 350 years by then, and had never got to hear this retort. It's a shame, because it might have shut him up, the metaphysical idiot. Of course, Donne was being metaphorical. He loved being anything with meta at the start, which is why he spent a year of his life dressed up as an obscure foot bone, the metatarsal, and pointed out that no human being can live their lives emotionally shut off and independent of others. Even idiotic Saint Simeon Stylites, who made the unusual decision to live atop a pillar for 37 years so he could venerate God, I'm sure God appreciated that, even he needed small shepherd boys to climb up and give him parcels of bread and milk. Poetry, foot biology and medieval saints, we're laughing and learning today, aren't we? Mainly learning so far, to be fair. I certainly wouldn't want to be an island, either metaphorically or actually, but as much as I love the company of others, sometimes I yearn to escape and be alone on an island, like a Robinson Crusoe has told Manfreda to sod off and let him be. I once fleetingly experienced it, and it's one of my happiest moments. In 2001, I went on holiday to Thailand with my then-girlfriend. We stayed in a beach hut on a comparatively isolated island in the Trat region. It was simple and idyllic, and we were at the end of a beach, but we were not totally alone. One night as we staggered back from the bar, the full moon rising behind us, I looked out to sea and saw a small sandbank had been created 20 metres from the shore. It hadn't happened before, but tonight, due to the unusual currents and perhaps the gravitational pull of a full moon, a new island had emerged. My crapulous girlfriend went to bed, but I took a plastic chair from my room, waded out to sea and sat on that island, my island. I called it Charred Island, a pretentious shortening of my first name, and watched the moon and stars slowly progress across the sky. It appeared again the next night and I did the same thing. I was the king and all the citizens of this magical land and would sit there in silent and drunken contemplation until the tide changed and my throne was swamped and my domain was lost beneath the waves. I was like some kind of massive Canute. That's C-N-U-T, that's the correct spelling of Canute. Again, laughing and learning. Perhaps I liked the isolation because I wasn't getting on so well with my girlfriend. I know I fantasised that the girl in the next hut along would notice me and come and join me as my queen, though that's a polite way of putting what I had in mind. The laws of your society did not operate on Charred Island, and it wouldn't have counted as infidelity. Sadly, if she ever saw the fat, weird man sitting on a chair in the sea staring at the moon, she didn't fancy joining him for some reason. After 3 nights, Charred Island was gone, but I still think of it with fondness. Legend has it that it only appears once every 1,000 years. Admittedly, I made up that legend. No man or woman is an island, but sometimes we are blessed. We need the blessed release of solitude. Hope you enjoyed those blogs. That's it for this week on the blogs. Bye.
FUBAR, giving radio the finger.
That was nice one at the elbows. I like them. They're pretty good. So we're getting loads. I mean, just we're inundated with this. This was a fantastic idea of mine and not Adam and Joe's to do this.
And I've got one new follower.
Have you? Well, that's good. Alan Balding says, "Who built the ark, brother? No one built the ark." Turns out it was actually some guy called Noah, though. So that's I think someone else sent that one in saying they were shocked to find out that no one built the ark. Mark McKinley thought summer of '69 started. "I got my first real sex dream." Made the line, "Played till my fingers bled," just horrific. I don't know. What is the actual first line to Summer of 69, Lou?
"It was the summer of 69.
Okay, I don't think that is. Jane Heron, nearly a brilliant surname, says, "Drug dealer to my Yorkshire friend, speed, cocaine. My friend replied, I speak okay. Genuine mishearing." It's good. I think you should treat all drug dealers like that who do... because they think they're cool, don't they? Aren't they? Some,
yeah,
totally. I passed some in the street. Anytime you just want to have a conversation,
I'm
it's fine. You can check that during the songs. That's what the songs are there for.
Oh, I've got it all wrong. I was writing my story in the songs, okay. And I think you'll be pleased I did.
Shall we do that then? Shall we go for this week's Lou Sanders Take a Book? Here it comes. It's always one of my personal highlights of the show. This is the beginning of a book written by Lou Sanders. She gets bored, so she never writes any more of it.
I ended it this time.
Okay, let's go.
Take a book.
Please, can I have a bed of music?
You have to ask for the bed before the show. You can't go, can I now have a bed? I can play your Moonlight Sonata. That's all you're getting.
Okay.
Not really appropriate.
Okay.
You need to get a sexy bed.
Do you want to...
That'll probably happen next week as well. That's my guess. That exact same thing is going to happen next week. We never learn.
Ricky.
Yes.
Dickie, do you want to hear the title?
Yes, I do. That would help. Let me just get into the mood.
Melinda and a Bowl of Topics. Thing is,
Melinda in or and?
And.
Okay.
That's two things in time. I'm going in a new direction now.
Okay.
It's more sort of gritty. It's more family friendly.
Sure.
I don't want it over. Okay. Melinda borrowed a pencil from Steve. Ooh, she said. Innuendo alert. Why? Steve replied hoarsely. Oh, nothing, Melinda quipped, embarrassed. She changed topic fast. Would you like a chucky bar? She sassed, hopefully.
She sassed.
Hopefully.
Okay.
They were topic bars, actually, so it's funny that I would use that word. She sprinkled raisins over the top of the bowl of confectionery to jazz it up, presentation-wise. Not for me. Not for me, thanks. I've just had my tea. Steve winked at her heavily and rubbed his belly. She didn't know what it meant, but she did it back. So that's now two adults in their early to late 30s. They're 35, standing by a bowl of topic bars and raisins, winking and rubbing their bellies. Belly's relief. What a crazy spectacle. Steve burst through the pantomime.
She's moved over to a different book there. She had that on her computer and now the rest is in her notebook.
I wrote half on the train and I finished it in your...
Well, you know, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like you've spent a long time writing on this.
Steve burst through the pantomime with a realisation. You're Melinda Messenger. Finally, she said, you recognise me. And she began to take off her trouser suit. I'm plumbing for a job at the Spectator.
Are you?
I think I'm just building up a body of work.
Is that it? Is it finished? The Melinda message?
Message? She took off her pantsuit. You can imagine what happened next.
I'm thinking about her wearing a pantsuit.
Let's just say the topics never got finished that day. But the bedroom topics...
I can only apologise for Lou, but, you know, there's no point, really.
DM just me if you've got any deals, book deals.
There you go. Look, the music's gone. I did that very professionally, and then that's back up again. It's all good. We're all good. So, and you had some other ideas for our radio show.
Yeah,
Let's throw this over to you, this little section.
Okay, so I've got some new feature ideas.
Okay,
just
great.
Beef up the show.
It's nice that you pitched them on the show rather than ask me beforehand. But, you know, I think that's good. There's no way I can go, no, let's not do that. I'll say let's not do that, but it'll be too late.
Okay,
so let's pitch.
We've hinted at one. This is one we came up with together, really. Yeah. There could be a feature called Getting the Sack, where we try and get, like, you know how Sashgate...
We're doing pretty well for that this week.
You know how the Sashgate thing was really good for those guys? They didn't have a career. Russell Brand didn't have a career.
He had nothing
that.
Until then.
Nothing. So we could do our own one.
Yeah.
So listeners could, like, tweet in things we could do to get the sack. Maybe we can video them.
Okay.
I mean, is my middle name... punk rock, yes, I think it
is. So if you want to send in some ways you think we could get the sack,
I mean, it's going to be pretty hard for us to get the sack.
It is going to be, because they sort of let us do anything on here.
Yeah, so, I'm off to the toilet making a drink, doing whatever I want.
You are
really.
You don't take it seriously. We've slagged off the next week. I'm planning on slagging off the owner of
next
the...
week. We were talking about when we get paid.
We were.
Okay.
So let's not do that, because then we'll get the sack and then we won't get
I
paid
love
anything.
Fubar. Okay.
Fubar is the best radio station that I am currently on.
Fubar is the best radio station that I have ever been on.
I enjoy it. So that's good, right? So if you want to join in with that, then email us at herring@fubarradio.com. Don't put an at the beginning, just herring@fubarradio.com. That will come through to an email account and then people will just go, oh, don't know where that went, sorry. But send it in and we'll do email in if you're listening to the show, just to let us know you're there.
Just do it. Another one, another feature... my dreams. I just tell you the dreams I had last night.
Okay.
Really interesting if you want to hear my
dreams. That's what my wife does. Yeah, that's how I spend the morning having to listen to my wife telling me her dreams, going, oh, yeah, oh, that's interesting. What do you think that means? I don't think it means anything.
Oh, it always
What dreams do you... I had a dream last night that I was sitting by the Thames River and a sort of plane was in the sky flying very erratically, and I went, oh no, what's happening to that plane? And it was very, very low, and then it went just beyond behind some buildings and exploded. It was quite exciting.
Well, I'll analyse that for you later.
I think that means I'm scared of terrorist attacks.
No. I can analyse it later. I'm really good with dreams.
Okay. Why can't you do it now if you're so good at analysing stuff?
I just need to think about it, and it's going to do a little dead air time, which apparently is not great on the radio.
It is not good. So that's good. So have you had a dream recently that you want to tell me about or not?
I dreamt I was pregnant, and then I realised I've been drinking a lot, and I've probably killed the baby.
Yeah.
And then I
was that definitely a dream? No. Because a lot of that sounds quite plausible as a reality, to be honest.
Hang on a minute. Is that what that was? But that's just a little message to take more care of myself, I think.
I think so. And and use protection if you are lucky enough to have sexual intercourse with another human being.
Well,
always, especially if you don't know them very well. But even if you do know them, they might be still cheating on you. Always wear a condom. That's my advice.
Oh, that's your general advice. Thank God. I thought it was to me.
Just all the time. Just in case. You never know. Just have it on. Girls love that. If you get out your cock and there's a condom already on it. Especially if it's been used once or twice before.
Oh,
they enjoy that.
Richard.
That's my little, I'm no longer on the market for ladies, but I can help other men out with my years of experience.
Years and years.
Always wear a condom, otherwise you get sexually transmitted diseases.
Let's move on.
People stick a little thing up the end of your cock and scrape it, and that's really horrible.
Is this your feature you're pitching to talk about safe sex?
Sorry, I just want to break in. Colin Thomas said, I used to think feed the world was fever woe.
That is dumb.
That really wrecks that song. Carry on, next feature, please. You have 30 seconds to pitch one more feature. But we can do more later, don't worry.
Well, a lot of people aspire to be just like me. So there's a tip section where I give tips such as comb your hair.
Yeah.
That's the only tip I've got so far. So obviously I need to think about it.
Is that because my hair needs combing that you came up with that
tip? No.
Oh, okay. I don't ever comb my hair or brush my hair.
Do you never?
Very, very rarely. I quite enjoy brushing it. My wife's got a very nice brush and I've got quite long hair. But I can't be bothered, to be honest.
What an image I'm building.
I just, I get out of the shower, go, oh, there we go. That'll do, won't it? Dry that a bit and we'll see. Hey, look, it's David Bowie with the Gene Genie. Adam Buxton would like this. Let's play it for Adam Buxton and hope that is enough to make up for us stealing the idea that he stole off us.
FUBAR, radio worth paying for.
You're listening to Rich Herring and Lou Sanders. She's just been in the toilet. Oh, she's back. Unbelievable. She's back. Right. And it's like so professional. She went to go to the loo. I thought I was going to have to say, well, I'm glad she's defecating in a toilet for once rather than just in her own pants.
Okay, let's bring up the class. Let's bring up the class in this show.
She is so professional. She was back bang on the exact moment we started again.
Right on time.
It's very much true. So loads more of these things coming in about mishearings as children or as adults. Laura Froggatt said, I thought bifocals were called eye pokers and couldn't understand why they'd ever be a good idea.
And I thought you had a different surname. What does make sense?
Frog it. Are you saying that sounds like fuck it?
No. I don't know what I'm saying.
You're saying look, whore, fuck it. That's what I'd call her at school.
I thought we'd bring out the class and tone of this
show.
No,
we're doing the opposite.
Oh, okay.
They've said, could you make it have less tone and less class? And you say, I think it's hard for it to have less class. Remember what Lou was talking about doing in my...
next week.
Okay. Oh, God, even next week's even better. It's really next worth tuning into next week.
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
I'm so embarrassed about next week. Anyway, Dave McLeod has written in, at the tender age of 5 or 6, I was disappointed to arrive in Weston to find out that they didn't have a super bear.
Aww.
It's a cute one.
And also they have a beach full of mud and the sea and a mile away from the shore.
And also your dad died. What?
I hope not. He's still going. Sadie Newman, her husband, @loafboy, if you want to tweet him pictures of your penis, that is the @loafboy, Bohemian Rhapsody lyrics, Beelzebub has a devil put aside for me, has the devil for a sideboard as a child.
Oh.
Why did you marry him? He's an idiot. He's clearly a fucking idiot. Have you got another one?
Well, yeah. At the age of 21, until the age of 21, I always thought muesli was pronounced muesli. I often heard people pronounce it correctly, but I thought they were wrong and I was right. It wasn't until I went to university and had months of people berating me on my mispronunciation that I finally conceded that I was wrong. That's Eddie Tabernacle.
Oh.
Nowadays, I have toast for breakfast at the end.
Richard Hollis, Madonna's La Isla Bonita in my head starts, "Last night I dreamt of some bagels." And the Weather Girls sing Israeli Men.
Oh, that's good.
Israeli Men. Yeah. That's quite good.
Good afternoon, Rich.
Hello.
It's Ryan Fryer. Oh, okay.
It's evening time as you're listening to this, unless you're listening to it on one of the other days when sometime it is in the afternoon. So that, well done for covering all bases.
This guy, Ryan Fryer, he's charming.
Yeah.
"I trust you're in good spirit and health today," he starts.
Yeah.
He chimes in with, "Came to see you in Birmingham last week and got a hug after the show."
Oh.
"It was lovely to meet you and many thanks for the laughs." Or many laughs. Thanks for the many laughs.
Yeah, there were many.
The Lord's Prayer. It's another Lord's Prayer. Confused me in the youth assembly. I said, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name."
Yeah, that's so in, he was that's it. Isn't that in the Four Weddings and a Funeral?
Is it?
I don't know. That's Richard Curtis's level. He just copies stuff off of kids. I would never do that. I would never just take an idea I had as a four-year-old child and try and make a whole show out of it.
No, you would not.
I would never do that. But I also think, I always thought it would be good if it's "Our Father who art," Garfunkel believes in as well. That's what I liked.
Yeah. He's also sent you something, a Groupon link to something or other.
Oh, I bet you'll know what it is because people do the set. Because of my, you know, various routines, people, because of my International Men's Day thing, now every single day. Today is International Happiness Day or something, and everyone's saying when's International Misery Day because of my stunt on Twitter. So that happens to me a lot. But also because of my routine about buying my wife Ferrero Rocher chocolates on Valentine's Day, which I think I may have done as one of the Meaning of Life bits earlier in the run of this.
Well, if I was listening, I would know.
If I was listening, I'd know. The problem is I don't know which bits I've done now, so, you know. I don't think anyone else is paying attention, so I'll just do it again. But I buy my wife Ferrero Rochers in an exponentially increasing number every Valentine's Day. This year I bought 64 Ferrero Rocher chocolates. So whenever I get, whenever there's an offer anywhere or a picture of some Ferrero Rocher chocolates, then I get tweeted that. The Groupon deal is actually not that good. I bought 75 Ferrero Rocher chocolates for £15 from Sainsbury's.
Yeah.
That one is like £15 for about 40. So that's not even very good. So don't send me it. It's rubbish. And, you know, obviously other people have sent me it. "Oh, you've seen a picture of a Shrek? Send me that. Fuck off."
That's ungrateful.
Thanks, for being a fan.
He was nice and he appreciated the hug. And now I think he's going to change his tune.
He might do. You know, that's the thing. You get angry about, you know, people enjoying your humour. I did a gig in Aldershot last night, and I do a routine about it's quite a good joke. I'm going to wreck it now for the show, but if you come and see it, close your ears for a second. But I do this thing where I go, "Who remembers 9/11? Do you remember 9/11? I go, "I'm trying to get into this Peter Kay nostalgia comedy, but this one doesn't seem to fly as well as this Monster Munch based." But then a guy shouted, "Isn't it 11/9? Because in the previous show, I'd done a routine about how should be 11/9. But then it actually wrecked the whole, you know, because you're in your flow. And then so someone's joining in, but he was joining in a little bit too much. You know, he was chucking in comments a little bit too much, and it was a bit distracting. I mean, it's quite a complicated show. And I liked having a bit of banter and dealing with stuff. But then I thought, if this guy's going to do this all the way through the show, I'm going to, you know, it's going to wreck the show for everyone else.
What did you do, call him an earhole?
I didn't. I took him aside and said, "It's good. You know, that was good. But the thing is, only you and I really get that joke. So, you know, think about what you're doing." And I'm now having to bail out of this routine. So everyone else in the audience has lost a minute's worth of material. So I reckon you owe everyone else in the audience a pound. There's only about 150 people in, so it's not that bad.
Yeah.
But I said, you know, do take care, because it'll build up if you keep interrupting. So he didn't interrupt again, but I hate to think that I, you know, he was a nice man just trying to join in with one of my own jokes. So it'd be a shame wrecked it.
It's a tricky one, isn't it? Because people always think they're helping, and sometimes they are. But
well, very rarely, and it's the persistent hecklers who, if you go to YouTube and put in Richard Herring heckler, you can see a very long video of me dealing with a very persistent and drunken heckler who actually that whole thing, I think it was about 8 minutes on YouTube, but it went on for about 25 minutes. They think a lot. He didn't, but a lot of people think they come up to you and go, "Yeah, that was me helping you out, mate. Cheers.
Yeah,
all right."
Yeah.
Then very, very rarely are helping out. It's nice when something happens and you fly off into another bit of routine. And that sort of did happen last night, but there we go.
I went to a Q&A last night with Greg Daniels.
From Parks and Rec.
Yeah. And it was really funny. I love the Q&A bit at the end. It's the most fun, because people try and, like, sell themselves in the short thing, time they've got to ask a question. Yeah. So this one woman, bless her, she did a joke when in the at the start of the thing when the TV wouldn't work or whatever. So she's like, oh, hi, I'm a writer. Sorry, it's me that made the joke at the start. she was really sweet, but she was like, oh, yeah, I'm in a... And then they always kind of pitch what they're doing as if Greg then afterwards is going to come in and go like, oh, a writer, you say? It was nice.
I was at one of those once with Al Pacino was talking about... he was in The Merchant of Venice.
Yeah.
And everyone was being so serious with the questions going, you know, you are the greatest film actor of your generation, all this stuff. And I was too chicken to do it, but I really wanted to stand up and say, who do you think would win in a fight, Shylock or Scarface?
I really wish I'd done it. Because I bet they're thinking, don't be up my arse so publicly. Like, it's embarrassing for both of us.
I think so. He's happy to take it seriously, but it's so pompous. Often those things, that was a BAFTA thing. And there it's great, and it's an amazing thing to be able to see these people live. But then also it is the people who go there. It's often just the case, isn't it? I was at the British Museum seeing the very excellent Vikings exhibition with my mother-in-law's birthday. It was last week, and we went to see some Vikings. But the kind of people who are at the British Museum, and I'm a member of the British Museum, so I am one of those people, but they're very annoying.
Yeah.
And they're very kind of, you know, they all sit, they stand there very earnestly, really staring at something for ages. And it was so packed because it was very early on.
Yeah.
Even though we were there on a Wednesday afternoon, I thought, oh, it'll be all right. But there was that so packed. And so you had to queue for certainly near the beginning, you know, because everyone's taking it very seriously at the beginning. And then they go, oh, let's rush for it. Quite funny there where Lou just knocked her own headphones off her head. I wish you could have seen it.
I just wanted to listen more with my own ears.
So, you know, we went in the members' room and it's full of all these fusty show-off kind of British Museum people, as BAFTA is. But, you know, I'm in there amongst them. I'm one of them. But you kind of feel you want to take them down a bit. The British Museum's wonderful.
I mean, they were sweet.
Wonderful.
Like, the questions were good and well done for them for blooming doing it. I don't like being cynical about anyone, but it just was funny.
So look, we're coming up to an interview in about a minute. We'll be playing. This is an interview we did with Vicky Stone. It was very funny. She's a host on FUBAR, does her own show on FUBAR. One of the few women that FUBAR allow onto their schedules at the moment. They allow you on, Lou. This is a...
They allow me on, but they don't like to talk about it.
They don't like to talk it or name you.
I go under your name.
But that's good, because I'm sneaking you in. This is like the Great Escape, and I've snuck in. You're like the soil in the Great Escape, and I'm sneaking you in and pushing you down my trousers and letting you out the bottom. That is what you are most like. So, you know, in a way, ladies, I am a feminist hero, in a way.
In many
but it's still ways. It's still my show, and Lou is not the main person in it.
I like to use the word co-hosting.
Yeah, I know you do. But
I think you can basically use that what privately. Happened. I know what happened.
Yeah.
You said, oh, I've got this show. You can come on and do a bit, because you weren't sure how good it was going to be.
Yeah, it was weird. And now I look back at that and think, what was I thinking? How could I not realise that Lou was going to be amazing?
And I was like, sign me up for the series, way. Darling. You won't need anybody else.
Anyway, look, first we're going to play a record, and then we're going to be hearing, this is a pre-recorded interview with Vicky Stone, so if anything doesn't make sense, that is why. But coming up is Palija. And I need a dollar sign.
FUBAR!
I'm pretty impressed with myself there. I did a little sting there at the end of the record, like a proper DJ would. Very excited. So you're listening to FUBAR Radio with me, Rich Terring, and also with that lady over there. What's your name again?
Luli.
Lou Sanders, who are you? Luli. Lou Sanders, who are you and why are you here?
I mean, good questions. the security man asked me the same thing. Who am I? I'm just quite a well-rounded woman. Woman of a certain age. I'm an international heartthrob.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, you definitely will be after appearing
on radio.
Alongside me. You've got a face for radio.
Sure.
That's what I would say.
Got a body for dancing.
So we have been joined by a guest. Every week we'll have a major international superstar coming in. And a guest. And our guest, you can hear her laughing, is the wonderful Vicky Stone. And on my piece of paper, I've got a posse. That's my posse.
I nearly applauded myself to make it sound more impressive.
Can I be your hype man?
What's a hype man?
You just, like, you say something and I'm like, whoa, yeah, and I just echo it.
Okay.
Anyway, hi, Vicky.
You, I've got to say who she is. She's a multi-talented comedian.
Thanks.
It says that on the... I'm not,
I don't know
not,
where this is from.
That's not my opinion.
Do you know
that
what I mean?
Is just on the piece
that,
of paper.
Is that like Wikipedia?
I think you're a talented comedian. I don't think you're multi-talented.
Well, no, because you can
I think you're
do
a
music.
Two talents. Is that multi? You can
no,
do,
I've got
do comedy and sing song. Oh, and play the piano.
And I play loads of instruments.
Yeah, oh, okay. It's fair enough. Yeah. You've won me round.
Do you know what I mean?
You're an actress, singer and musician, and you're the winner of the Soho Theatre One Night Stand-Up Award.
There we go. That was in 2011, so I should update my bio. If anything.
It's good. So, you are a DJ on FUBAR Radio.
Yes. So we all use that term quite loosely.
How's it going for you on FUBAR Radio? Because I'm amazing already. And
yeah,
Lou just like she was born to do this.
Sure. I have an A-level in music technology.
Ooh.
So my button pressing is pretty fucking good.
Wow.
But yeah. Things have moved on a little bit since we were
not really. It wasn't that long ago.
And are you enjoying being able to swear on the radio?
Yeah,
what you
fabulous.
Just did then?
Yeah, yeah, it's
nice to be able to relax.
It's lovely. I mean, normally when you sort of go and do like promo slots, it's with like, you know, BBC Radio Leeds and you know, you can't say anything.
Yeah.
So this is nice.
You can be as filthy as you like on our show and we would expect it. I do see, I'm sure you get asked about this a lot, but I'm going to segue into my own story. That's what I do with my interview guests. You were a backing singer on the Elton John Arena Tour.
I was, yeah. It was one of my first jobs.
Was
see
it?
Now the multi-talented thing?
You are
did
very
you,
talented.
Did you take it back?
I
you
do.
Did, you were a dancer, did you?
No, I wasn't a
backing singer.
Singing. Ooing and ahhing. Yeah, we did Wembley, NEC, Albert Hall. Yeah.
Did you get to hang out with Reg?
I got to, he doesn't turn up for rehearsals until the last one, so we did like a whole week and there's an Elton stand-in.
Yeah.
So you don't actually particularly... And we're quite
does the Elton stand-in look like Elton John?
No, he doesn't, but he does sound like him.
Oh, right, okay.
He does sound like him. But he came round at Wembley, there's this big kind of like green room, like on an insane level. And he comes round with his dog. His dog's got this full-time dog minder. His dog's called Arthur and he's got access all areas badge. The dog's got better fucking access than you have. And wow. Elton comes round and asks everyone a question and thanks everyone for their work on the tour and stuff. And I said, does your dog travel well? And he went, yes, thanks. He's only made a mess on the plane once. And moves on to the next person. That was my sentence. That was it. That is the only time I've spoken to Elton John. And that's it.
Wow.
About dog shit.
Do you think the bloke who plays is now obsessed with the Elton John standing?
Yeah.
That's what I like about the story. I love the dog pooing. But does he? Do you think he's sitting there hoping Elton John will fall ill one night and he'll get to go on and be Elton John?
Well,
it's like an understudy thing.
I never saw him at the gigs.
Oh,
he was only ever there at the rehearsals.
Must be heartbreaking for him.
Yeah. Yeah, Elton John has an auto cue for his own lyrics.
Wow.
Really
wow.
weird. Seeing the lyrics for your song go on a screen, it's like, surely you know them.
Wow. Do you think he had one of those at the Lady Diana's funeral? He needed one. That must have been so confusing when he had to change the lyrics. We started talking about Marilyn Monroe halfway through.
Topical.
It is topical. It doesn't have to be topical. It's all about Elton John.
Princess Diana is eternally topical.
She is. If you read the Daily Express. My story about Elton John is that I was once... I was hired for a Christmas party at this really posh jeweller's in West Kensington or something.
I thought they were getting Elton John.
No. And it was for... It was like a Christmas dinner for 30... their 30 best customers. So it's like this... It's the richest people in the country, basically.
Wow. Yeah.
And it's in the shop and all these diamonds and stuff are in the shop. Mm. And then I was meant to come in as they're having their pudding and do 5 minutes from Talking Cock, which was the show I was doing at the time.
Ideal.
It's in 2002. Because Elton John is their main customer, so it's like a party for him.
Whoa.
And so the audience was Elton John, David Furnish, Posh Spice, Hugh Grant, Richard Curtis. It was I think Fergie was there. It was just unbelievable. So I was staring out at these 30 people.
Fergie as in Sarah Ferguson rather than the one from the Black Eyed Peas.
Yes, it was. She might have been there as well. But Sarah Ferguson, the guy from The Clash. It was like incredible.
Wow.
And I came on and they introduced me, the guy who ran the shop. His wife had the word, I can tell this on the radio, it's not beautiful.
Yeah.
Her earring said fat in diamonds on one ear and cunt on the other in diamonds. No, sorry, not rich cunt. It was rich cunt.
No, it wasn't.
It was rich cunt.
It wasn't.
Rich cunt. And
earrings.
Yeah, and earrings. And as I was looking around the shop, Lulu was there, who I'd met before, so I talked to her. And as I was looking around before, we were looking at some earrings in a display case that cost £100,000, which is about what my flat had cost at the time.
Wow.
And one of the women went, those diamonds aren't even the same size. the same shape.
Oh,
and I
God.
Went, well, they're diamonds. You know, diamonds are natural things. Yeah. And you can't get two exactly the same. I said, so if I bought those for you, you'd reject them. She said, I might do. So these massive fuck-off diamonds. Oh. And then I came on stage and they introduced me and said, please welcome to talk about Byzantine pottery, which wasn't a great start. And then I started doing this stuff from Talking Cock, like the first 10 minutes, and it wasn't when I was doing much stand-up. And just there was a few titters, and then and then no one was really laughing. And then Elton John started talking.
Oh,
and
no.
It was like being it was really like being a jester at the...
Oh, God.
You know, at the he was the queen, and he decided that he's this guy's shit. And so I then had to do the last 5 minutes to sort of utter silence. Hugh Grant was laughing, which I love. I like Hugh Grant.
I like Hugh Grant.
But the Posh Spice was just staring at me as if I was like from a...
I did a gig for some very, very famous people that I had to sign a confidentiality agreement.
I might have had to as well.
I would never... and I was completely ignored. And someone came up to me and tapped me on the shoulder and went, don't worry, they talk through Adele. It was just like I was a TV screen in the corner.
Wow.
And it was just, and I just sang some songs, completely talked over, nothing. It's like, on you go, there you go.
Yeah.
I was like, oh shit, is this it?
It is a very weird thing. And then I had to go back and have pudding with them as well. So it's just sort of. And Elaine Stritch was there. Is it Elaine Stritch?
Elaine Stritch, the one that's. That she's in today, American.
She's in 30 Rock now, but she was like did loads of stuff in the 70s, 80s. She was
she's a massive musical theatre star.
Yeah, big star. And out of all the people I'd been talking to her beforehand, and I said I was a comedian, and she was really nice to me. But then she was sort of leaving. She was leaving as I came on, and then the waiter came over and said, "Oh, Elaine had stopped and stayed and watched your set," which was nice of him to say. Oh, good. And said, and she just within 2 minutes she went, "Oh dear." And then walked out. So I don't know why he told me. So because I was doing all these cock jokes, she wasn't going to like it, but you know, he didn't need to tell me that she
had not.
I was really excited to meet her, and then
that's
so the whole
stay
thing.
With you. Oh,
yeah, but the whole thing was a disaster. But that's me.
But if I was there talking to Elton John, I would say, Elton, please, a little bit of respect for the jester on stage. But then what if all your mates are... Do you think you know if all your mates are cunts? Do you think you know?
No, because your bar of what's a cunt is very different to everybody else's.
Yeah.
I think you can get away with so much more when you're out on John. Any of these people. Like,
exactly. But that's what their life is, so they just do exactly what they want to do. You would just think, as a fellow performer, you might go, isn't a great... You know, if you were in that situation where you were going to... You were at a party now and you were a multimillionaire and then someone came on to sing songs, you might go, I've done that.
Yeah, you'd start.
So
yeah,
let's listen to this person.
It was all performers. It was all performers, the one that I did that no one listened.
Yeah.
It was just wall-to-wall people that you'd know as well. It was like... Okay.
Well, maybe the both of you need to change your material. Have you thought about that?
Just get more powerful speakers.
Yeah.
It could well be. I'm going to ask you a question that I ask on my award-winning Leicester Square Theatre podcast.
I listen to it in the car.
So the Sony award-winning podcast.
Don't look at me when you say that.
And your podcast, did you ever win a Sony award for that?
Well, I mean, the one with the word tits in it got a lot more downloads than any of the others.
Tits in the title.
And there were a lot more downloads.
Would you rather have a hand made out of ham or an armpit that dispenses sun cream? That is my question to you. I don't know if you've been asked that before. The hand, just in case anyone is unaware of the provenance of this question, the ham hand, you could eat it and it would grow back. So you could nibble it and it would be fine. Or you could eat a big chunk. It would eventually grow back, like, say, in a week.
Okay, well, I'm vegetarian, so I don't really... Could it be... Can I have cheese?
Well, but it's not an animal. It's your hand. It's it's just made out of ham.
Okay.
But it's not... No animal has done... It's not like they've killed a pig and then fashioned a hand. It's like you are growing...
Just
a handmade ham. Family is almost
frappy.
Perfect for vegetarians. I know it would still work a function as a hand.
But it's just ham.
It's ham. Well, yeah, the smell of ham. And it would leave a slight residue on things as you touched it. That would be a downside. But it would be a nice snack. Or for an animal, you know, you could let an animal eat it. If you love animals so much and there was an animal, like a tiger was starving to death or something, or as you get a little valve in your armpit when you squirt it,
is it going to make fart noise?
Maybe if you've really used a lot of it and there's only a little bit left.
And you're just trying to, you get that
so
I
which
think
of
I'm
those?
Gonna have the I'm gonna have the sun cream
right.
the armpit sun cream
yeah
mainly because I use a lot of sun cream
do you
yeah I wear instead of a moisturiser, this is cracking radio, by
the
way.
No, it's
instead of a moisturiser, I like to use a factor 50 sun cream, and it's quite expensive.
Yeah.
So I just take a factor 50 sun
cream. You can choose, yeah. But then that means, you know, you're never going to tan, though, are you, with the factor 50?
Yeah, but if you wear a factor 50, not going to, you know, it's
you're not going to die.
Yeah, well,
you're worried about skin cancer.
Yeah, not skin cancer, but wrinkles.
Oh, wrinkles.
So it's a factor 50 sun cream on your face all the time.
Right.
Yeah.
Even in when you're in England,
yeah,
not, and it's
yes,
the winter.
All the time, yes.
You could
that
sell,
is so expensive.
Yeah, it is expensive. So the armpit sun cream.
I mean, I've just really.
Would basically free up my disposable income.
Yeah, blimey. Unfortunately, it's just a hypothetical question. I'm worried
Shit.
Now. I'm worried now you're thinking that was my payment for coming in was.
That's what it is.
This is going to be set up for me.
Lift up your arm, someone's going to remove some of your ribs and start putting in the Ambre Solaire.
Cool. We're talking to Vicky Stone. If you want to call in about today's phone-in, whatever that may be, call 0330 223 0200 and we'll be talking to people at the end. You can email me at herring@fubarradio.com. You can email Lou on that as well, but it doesn't have a name on it. If you just want to tweet Lou and, you know...
To be honest, I'm embarrassed. I don't want my name on it.
At Lou Sanders. You can tweet me at herring1967. What's your Twitter?
At Vicky Stone.
At Vicky Stone, so you can... With the double
K. Double K.
Yeah. That's very important to know. I'm here with Lou Sanders.
Hey.
Who, in a way, you know, I see you more as a co-host than a sidekick. But I think other people will see you as a sidekick. And Vicky
I think they'll see me as the main attraction.
And Vicky Stone is also here with
Hi.
Us as my guest. And you've doing lots of stuff on YouTube.
There's I lots have of done your, some things on YouTube,
They're good.
Yes,
but nice. They've been very successful things on YouTube, haven't they?
Yes, I mean, you know, they're never going to be as successful as a cat falling off a table, but, you know, we can all dream, but yeah.
But you've done one where you which I watched today, about how to look like Hilary DeVay from Dragon's Den.
Yes.
Eating gravel.
Yeah, Hilary saw that, and we've become quite good friends.
Have you? Oh.
And she saw that, and she booked me to perform at her 15-year anniversary do for her company, and she was like, oh, wouldn't you just do a thing dressed as me? So I did this whole song and dance routine dressed as Hilary DeVay for her. And then the act after me, so I go on, do this song and dance thing, it's a bit of tap, you know, multi-talented. bit of a tap dance dressed as Hilary. And then after me, it's Status Quo.
Wow.
The actual Whoa. Quo. And they had this clause in their contract where they're not allowed to be announced. They just slink on.
Wow.
No. Yeah, so no one can come on and go, please don't go to the stage, Status Quo. They just slink
so
on.
Why?
I don't know.
What's wrong
but
with
I don't
them?
Know.
Just in case they forget that that's them.
Yeah.
Oh, I like
but
them.
But I just got these amazing photos because everyone thinks it's a tribute band.
Right.
Because they haven't been announced. Everyone's like, what is this? Oh, my God, Status Quo tribute act. And then, so about the first three songs, nobody dances because everyone is
so
like, and then
ridiculous.
People start to realise it's the actual Quo and then go, a bit insane. It's amazing.
That is insane. I met this guy on a tube once, right, and he pretended that he was in Status Quo. It was the weirdest thing. He was really well dressed and he did look like a rocker.
Right.
And then he started talking to me going, oh, I don't usually get the tube. I haven't got the tube for years. And I was like, oh, okay. And then I was like, oh, why don't you get the tube? Like, what do you do? And he's like, oh, I'm in a band. And he was like, yeah, we're touring China at the moment. And I was like, oh, what band are you in? He's like, Status Quo. And I was like, whoa, I have heard of them. And
are you sure he could have been in Status Quo?
Well, he certainly looked the part, but yeah. But then when I Googled Status Quo to see which one it was, his face was not in any of them.
Well, it could be one of the guys at the back, because it's the two. There's Francis Rossi and what's the other one called?
Oh, Rick Parfitt.
Rick Parfitt, of course. And I think the rest of them must change. I bet it's one of those bands, if you go to see it, there are some 18-year-old kids in the back. So when you go to see the Beach Boys, it's like one of the Beach Boys and four 23-year-old men. If you go and see the Drifters, they're all 19 years old. You go, this doesn't work out.
Yeah, it's like they're regenerating. The Wailers are just on their own. It's like not Bob Marley anymore.
Yeah.
But Rick Parfitt, so in the hotel the next day,
I was
in the queue to check out next to Rick Parfitt. But there was this party in Hilary DeVay's suite afterwards.
I mean,
it was like
Hilary
me
DeVay's
and the Quo and Hilary DeVay.
Clash around,
well,
isn't
she's
she?
A. One off of Dragon's Den, isn't she? You know,
yeah, but some of them are bankrupt on that show.
She's not.
No.
but Rick Parfitt was having a massive row with the receptionist trying to check out. And I said to him, oh God, is everything all right with your hotel room? And he went, yeah, just went to breakfast. They gave us three poached eggs. Between two. Three poached eggs between two. And then he went, work that one out, and does this slicing mime that was really aggressive.
Whoa.
And I was like, Wow, you've not got many problems to solve, have you, mate?
Could the nurse have asked for an extra egg?
Well,
one less egg.
No, I'm pretty sure that they got an extra egg because he was in status quo. I'm pretty sure that he meant to have one egg each, and they bought them a third one because he was famous. Wow. And so he was just trying to get the breakfast office bill. It was just, it was beautiful.
You should have said, "We'll give you an extra egg if you ever use an extra cord." Good, so that's very exciting as well. You've also another celebrity endorsed YouTube thing.
Yes.
The Philip Schofield song is probably your most famous.
Yes, he was very sweet, Philip Schofield.
And he's in the video of it.
Yeah, he's in the video. I mean, just really brazenly just asked him.
Did he?
And just went, "Would you do it?" And so I wasn't able to be there on the filming, and then he just did this thing for me at the end of the day at This Morning, and I just sent him the props and just went, "Just look, just take these pants out of this jiffy bag and just rub them against your face." And then
he did it, and
a courier from ITV came with the tape. And the thing is, I couldn't use much of it in the video, but there's shitloads of it. Those pants rubbing from different angles. One day I'll just release it by itself because it's a great piece of footage.
Do you actually want to have sex with Philip Schofield?
No.
Because the song is a sort of stalking song of Philip Schofield.
So it's just a comedy song, isn't it?
I think he's taking it seriously.
I mean, you're a good actor,
that's
obviously.
Yes,
but I think no one can act that well. There's got to be a part of it. You've got to be careful because I did. I've only got one talent, and even that isn't really a talent, which is speaking. But in our show, Fist of Fun, we was out before you two were born in the mid-1990s. I did a sketch where I made a shrine to the actress Julia Sawalha.
Right, yeah.
And then, there was all pictures of her, and then there was skewers through the face of Keith Allen, who was then boyfriend, and there was a well, and I was sort of dressing up as Julia Sawalha in it and putting night vision goggles on. It was a sort of stalkery sort of thing. And then about 6 years after that, I started going out with Julia Sawalha. I went out with Julia Sawalha for 2 years. So it can work out.
Careful what you wish for.
She didn't know about the TV thing.
Did she not?
No.
She says she doesn't.
No, she genuinely didn't. I don't think she... because it was weird. Like, one was at a party, and the people who wrote that sitcom she was in with Linda Bellingham kind of took her to one side and said, "You know who that is? That guy did a thing." But I didn't. I think I did have a tape of it, but I just told her I didn't have a tape of it because I didn't want her to see it.
But did you have a crush on her?
I really fancied her. So I did a thing. I fancied her, but I did this jokey thing as the character of
Rich. Why did it only last 2 years?
We weren't really well matched. It was sort of she's very spiritual and I'm very rational. I would say, and then we were quite young. And be careful what you wish for. It's kind of not. It was an odd thing, but she came to my parents' house, and then the first thing she said to my dad is, "Have you got a copy of Fist of Fun?" And my dad went, "Yeah, of course I have." And so he put it on. But and I thought it was on every week, but it was in like the fourth one. We were fast forwarding through all this stuff because I think we recorded it and then we couldn't put it in all the time. And then that week, my dad's a character in the show. He's the Jarred Man of Somerset. And the sketch begins with me at the shrine with a picture of Julia going, "Julia, I'd like to meet my dad. Dad, this is Julia."
Oh my God.
Which has just happened. And then them dancing around pretending to be her. And then at the end of it, when we'd watched it, my dad went, "Well, that was a bit embarrassing." It was, but it was sort of an odd thing to. But things like that happen. I think when you're a writer, often things like that happen. So be careful.
Yeah.
God, I'm going to start writing sketches of me having like a really nice house.
Yeah,
I'll do. Have a really nice house.
I think that could work out. That could be fine. Well, we're talking about the Philip Schofield thing. We've actually got that. We've got a recording of your. We've taken it off there somewhere. We're going to play your song now. So you probably get paid for it. Paid like. 3p
bit
for
of,
this.
Bit of PRS.
So, well,
getting a thumbs up, getting some PRS for this.
I hope this is the rude version because you did a.
It is the rude version.
You went on and did a less rude version.
I did. I have the most amazing email trail about whether or not the word lube is suitable, and it includes phrases like, "Well, Dr. Chris did do a live prostate exam, so technically lube is fine." And they had things like Bear Grylls setting fire to tampons.
Yeah.
So it was like, why can't I say lube? But I couldn't say lube. But now we can.
You weren't allowed to say lube.
I can't believe it.
Well, we'll play it now. Here we go. I'm going to turn us off.
They say.
Ooh, Vicky Stone there. She sang that live. That was amazing. What a fantastic thing. That was the real thing. And you trained at the Royal Academy of Music.
Yes. But that's how I got the Elton John gig.
Oh, is it?
Because he uses ex-Academy students.
Oh, does he?
Yeah.
What kind of shenanigans did you get up to? Was it quite a... Were people quite serious at the Royal? Was it like Fame, is what I'm saying?
No, nothing like Fame. No. Like, really, really very serious.
Right.
Yeah. But it's cool, because everyone's really good.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not like, you know, dancing in corridors.
And it's not even like drama school, where I imagine people just mess around. Everyone takes it very seriously?
Everyone takes it really seriously. For instance, you can't, like, if you try and book, you have to book a practice room a month in advance to get one.
Yeah.
Because the practice rooms aren't free, because everyone's practicing.
Right.
Everyone's practicing.
Wow.
Yeah,
they should get more practice rooms.
They should get more practice rooms.
You practice in the street with a tin and make some money at the same time.
Yeah. But you see singing, things like belting, like big singing when you're in small flats and stuff, you know, you've got to do it in a practice room. You need some soundproofing.
Yeah.
Do you think it's cheating doing comedy when you have actual talents? Because like people, me and Lou can't do anything.
No.
And we have to make the most out of what we've got, and you can actually do proper things.
Well, it's quite good, because quite a lot of my bits of my show, I don't have to write as much comedy in the shows, because I can, you know, I'll sort of start it off with my grand piano and smoke machines and just chords that are massive, and, you know, there we go.
There's a musical section of the brochure. Maybe you should look at that.
No.
And you're going to be back at the Edinburgh Fringe in 2014?
I am going back at the Edinburgh Fringe. Yes.
Good. Have you worked? Do you know what your show's going to be about yet?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
You got a title?
Yes.
Are you keeping it secret?
Well, I think it's going to be called... I think we've got to decide in about another 2 weeks or something.
Yeah.
It's called The Real Vicky Stone.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow.
Unmask yourself, guys.
Are you going to Edinburgh, Lou?
Yes.
Good. What's your show called?
Lou Sanders in Another Great Show Again.
Wow.
This is last time I did
Edinburgh. Welcome, Richard. What's yours called?
Mine's called The Lord of the Dance Settee.
Yeah. My favourite title of yours was, well, I guess Someone Like Yogurt, which I don't think I've done it right.
Someone Like Yogurt.
I wanted to Through the Vicky Hole, but that was vetoed.
It's a bit rude. The poster would be unpleasant. Vagina. Vagina or anus. That's good to know. It's good to know your preference. We've already set ground rules about sexual harassment at the beginning of this show, so it's fine.
Bumming discussed.
Bumming will come up a lot. You've done quite a lot of adverts, and so have you, Lou.
No, I haven't.
I've seen you on TV.
Yeah,
and
I've seen you. I've seen you in adverts.
I mean,
and as an older generation comedian,
shut up! You've got a house.
I've worked hard to get that without selling out to the man.
Yeah, because you worked hard when it was easier to make it, and you were better.
That was the thing.
And now we've just got to pull some faces.
Yeah, I don't think anyone can say don't do adverts.
I can. Don't
got,
do adverts.
Who's got money and a house?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you can't. Well, that's not fair. That means I can't say that. Then.
Yeah, I've just turned down Femfresh.
Have you?
Yes.
You get all the.
You did ten a lady.
I know. It seems odd to have morals now after I've done the incontinence pants, but.
I don't.
But I've just done it. I just, you know, the script was, you know, washing, like, she was soaping her face with shampoo, going, oh, God, I'm using the wrong product. And then it's like, oh, God, you wouldn't just soap your fanny, would you? No, you've got to use Femfresh.
Yeah. Well,
and I disagree with that.
It could be Vicky has a filthy vagina.
Good. Actually, Vicky, good for you, because we're always being told we're disgusting and our bits need cleaning.
Yeah. But that's exactly why I've done it, because Femfresh doesn't need to exist.
No.
I don't need vagina specific.
Like Sarah Silverman said and Sarah Silverman did a brilliant thing of, you know, like, if your vagina smells, then you need to go to a doctor.
You don't need wipes.
You don't need wipes. Yeah.
Good. Well, I'm glad we got that.
Are there any cock wipes when you think about it?
No, there are. There are. But they're marketed at one night stands, and they're like testicle wipes.
That's quite a good idea. I'd buy those.
Yeah. It's basically to stop you know,
but to be honest, testicles can get really stinky and unpleasant. I mean, and they're not meant to be, whereas vaginas are meant to be as they are. The wonderful things they are.
As the universe intended.
There's a willy brush as well you can buy that I mentioned in my show, Talking Cock.
What does it do?
Because I had the idea of, I was pitching it to Alan Sugar of a Roman stridgel that you could take. You could take the smegma off. It's so liberating to be able to say smegma on the radio.
And then someone
basically said that exists already, and there's a thing called the willy brush. You can go to willybrush.com. They sent me some free ones because I mentioned it.
Nice.
So I'm hoping I'll get some more now.
Because
you can never have too many willy brushes. It's like a shaving brush, but you use it to You don't really need it. A flannel will do, or a hand will do.
We've not yet served.
I mean, that sounds like the sort of thing that you sort of egg wash a pie with.
It is. I mean, I think men do need some help in cleaning their penises. Then the penis does need to be kept clean.
But you know, what was wrong with just dipping your number in the sink?
Exactly.
You know, like anybody else.
Yeah.
You know,
guys, we've not found a cure for cancer yet, and here we are with a willy brush.
I mean, life. It's good. It's a very good thing to have a willy brush. But it's also quite insulting if you get one as a gift.
Yeah.
It's quite hard to, you know, you've got to buy it yourself. You either go, hey, I've got a stinking willy, in which case you can probably do something about it. Or B, you know, someone's going to go, you've got, here you go. And there's a picture on the website of a woman. Go and look it up, willybrush.com. There's just a woman looking really relieved with a bloke going, and really smiling as if this guy had a big problem beforehand. You've got to dash off.
I have.
Unfortunately, I'd love to have talked to you about much, much more stuff, but maybe we'll get you in another time. Seeing you're going to be in here, going to be in here all the time anyway.
I'm going to be here. Yeah, you'll have to come on mine.
Yeah, we will. We'll all just
we'll never escape
Foo Bar Radio.
Each other's guests. There's a lot to avoid having to get actual guests.
There's a lot of comments coming on here. So give it up to my posse, to Vicky Stone. That's just me. We're going to break for some more music now, I think.
And here's another meaning of life. This week we're looking at ghosts. Very exciting. Are they real? No, they're not. That answers that. So now we've got that out of the way, here's a couple of stories about ghosts. According to her autobiography, Gina Lumley believes that the house she used to live in was haunted. On her first day there, an ancient removal man leaned his face very close to hers and said, "Leave this place!" But when she went out to the removal truck, the man was not there. I wonder if he was just employed by the removal firm to drum up more business. If they could persuade her to move again immediately, they'd be quids in. She also heard footsteps, saw someone walking past a window which was too high above the ground to walk past, and one night saw a freshly dug grave in the garden that was gone in the morning. Most of these things, from what I gather, were witnessed only by her. I'm not for a second suggesting Lumley might have imagined all these things. After all, it's much more probable she's just susceptible to being contacted by the dead due to her artistic sensitivity. She felt she was being forced out of the place by ghosts. Yet, when she put the place up for sale, she was showing some people around, and when she showed them the pantry, which was normally clean and insect-free, it was full of blue bottles. The family left terrified by the insects, and who wouldn't be? And when Lumley looked in the pantry again, there was no sign of the flies. That's tough if even ghost insects are haunting you. The inhabitants of the next world must hate Joanna Lumley. Perhaps they feel she should have stopped Absolutely Fabulous after the second series before it started getting a bit stretched and desperate. But wait, if the ghost wanted Lumley to leave, why did they mess things up when the other family were looking around the house? They should have kept quiet. Maybe the human ghost hated Lumley, but the ghouls from the insect world wanted her to stay. Perhaps insects stay being stupid once they're dead and are thus unable to follow any kind of plot or plan. Lumley went down to the cellar of her house and said, "We're leaving," and was rewarded with the scent of 1,000 roses, though how she was able to calculate the number of these invisible, ghostly flowers is not explained. Is it too much to think that flowers can come back as ghosts? Or have you accepted that insects can be spectres? Is it stupid to think that anything that is once alive just cannot become back as a ghost? Can bacteria come back from the dead, only to be visible to people with microscopes, who I suspect would have difficulty telling them apart from their living brethren, unless the ghost bacteria are able to form themselves into the word woo? Lumley finally sold the house, thus passing the problem on to some other poor idiot. She must have been delighted. But the Sunday Times reported the new occupant had lived there for 2 years and experienced nothing unusual at all. She says maybe the ghosts like Joanna more than us. Yes, that seems the most likely explanation. I'm scratching my head thinking of any other possible reasons that ghosts would appear to one person and not anyone else. It could only be because the ghosts liked Joanna Lumley. If anything, the ghost hated Joanna Lumley from the beginning and had wanted her out. I don't know what she's done to deserve this, but if I was Joanna Lumley, I wouldn't be looking forward to being dead. She's going to be well shunned in heaven. She's going to feel like an idiot. But I love these occasional news stories that crop up claiming that, say, a red-eyed howling Bigfoot has turned up in Tunbridge Wells. It's unlikely, perhaps. Impossible, maybe not. Hiding in plain sight is in an unexpected location would be the best course of action for any mythical creature. If you passed a Medusa in Minehead or a Frankenstein in Framley or a Shrek in Shrewsbury, your brain would surely pretend they weren't there. How many people do we successfully ignore because they're lonely or dispossessed or frightening? When you're sober, you certainly become aware of the drunks. You don't notice them when you're one of them. But when you're not, they're everywhere with their purple noses and suspicious damp patches on their sweatpants. I haven't been drinking recently. I've turned myself into a Haley Joel Osment in a dipsomaniac version of Sixth Sense. I see drunk people walking around like regular people, only slightly less steadily. They don't see each other. They only see what they want to see. They don't know they're drunk. If we can edit out humans, why not monsters? Historically, sightings of seemingly imaginary beasties are more common than you might think. My personal favourite first appeared on Barnes Common in September 1837. A businessman was taking a shortcut after a late night at the office when he was confronted by a bizarre figure leaping supernaturally high over the cemetery walls. He was described as devilish, with large pointed ears and googly glowing eyes. The cowardly businessman ran for his life, and this would surely have passed off as a drunken hallucination or an owl taped to a space hopper, but reports of the bouncy Beelzebub came flooding in from all over the city. He was dubbed Spring-Heeled Jack. Servant Mary Stevens was walking on the Clapham Common when an assailant grabbed her, kissed her, ripped off her clothes, groped at her with his claws, which were cold and clammy as those of a corpse. This prancing phantom was scared off by Mary's screams. This bodice-ripping and breast-fondling became a calling card of this unholy terror. Yet whilst not condoning such behaviour, it's quite a charming use of such diabolical powers. For all his abilities, Spring-Heeled Jack seemed to have the imagination of a hormonally crazed schoolboy, touching up women before realising he didn't know what to do next, pogoing off into the night like a peripheral character from Carry On Screaming, played by Charles Hawtrey. Still, London was gripped with fear. The descriptions became more lurid. Jack wore a tight-fitting oilskin, had eyes that shone like fireballs and shot blue flames from his mouth. Could any of this be true, or was it just the city caught up in a wave of hysteria? The threat was taken seriously. A 70-year-old Duke of Wellington was so incensed he came out of retirement, pulled on his wellies, grabbed a couple of pistols and rode into the night in the hope of apprehending this satanic supervillain. Was a septuagenarian any match for this flame-spewing Zebedee? The Duke claimed to have come close to capturing Jack, but the wily ghoul eluded him. So who or what was Jack? At the time, there was a theory the whole thing was a prank by the Marquess of Waterford, who had provided backing for many convoluted Victorian hoaxes. He was athletic and had prominent eyes, but surely he wasn't capable of leaping 25 feet in the air or breathing fire, and it seems unlikely he invented some kind of 19th century hover pack. In any case, sightings continued after he was dead. Others theorised that Jack was a mad, acrobatic fire-eater, a dressed-up kangaroo. But who dressed him up like that? And why? And why was this marsupial so obsessed with human mammary glands? Or maybe an alien used to the gravitational pull of a larger planet? I prefer to believe he was a product of the madness of modern city life, a monster forged from the imagination of Londoners, who they willed into existence and who became one of them, but with slightly better manners. If you've enjoyed this, do check out the whole Meaning of Life show, which is on vimeo.com/channels/RHMOL. There'll be 6 episodes in total. Thank you very much.
Richard Herring, ripping you a new ear hole.
On my own, that's what I'm doing, is just me. Or if you prefer, you can have this.
Richard Herring and Lou Sanders, ripping you a new ear hole.
Do you like having both?
I read an interesting thing about morale in the workplace.
Yeah. Is that? Well, I've just put you in that one.
Yeah,
I felt ashamed that you weren't on there. In a way, it's wrong, but only in a way. You're listening to FUBAR Radio, the Richard Herring Show.
Yep. Enjoy it.
We ask people.
Do you know what? I don't want to be part of this show when I hear about the topic areas.
Yeah.
Of Johnny's and fingering. Then I think.
Yes. Well, anyway, you were just listening to Johnny Cash, "The Man Comes Around," and before that, you might have heard Arctic Monkeys. Do I Want to Know? You might have. I don't know. We weren't really listening. And we are asking people to send in things they misunderstood or misheard as a child, based on My Lord of the Dance Setty, which will be coming to the Edinburgh Fringe in August. The Sir George Square Theatre.
Nice plug.
Thanks. Why not book your ticket now? Oh, it's not for sale yet. But just really put in your diary. Let's book that. Because there's so many tickets to sell. Barry Brady says, I once worked with a girl who steadfastly believed the chorus of the Kaiser Chiefs, I Predict a Riot, was Condoleezza Rice. Condoleezza Rice. Works quite well.
Yeah.
Have you got any more there?
Yes, Stephen Burt. As a child, I thought the expression was, if the cat fits. The meaning being, if it fits, you should wear it, regardless of the fact it's a cat.
But where should you wear it? I mean, you'd wear a cat on the end of your cock, really. And if a cat fits on your cock.
Wear it as a drape. They've got those new headbands.
All cats fit as a drape, don't they? You can put them as wear them around your neck.
I feel so stupid now.
You have to wear as a hat.
I feel so stupid.
It's either a hat or a condom. It's a very, very effective condom, I've found.
Have you seen they've got new headbands now with taxidermy mice on them?
No, I have not.
It's disgusting.
That seems unpleasant. Yeah. Whose idea is that?
I just saw it in some mag or something.
I think you were tricked. I think that's vegetarian propaganda.
I'll Google it now.
Jeezy Creasy says, I used to sign, I think they mean sing, but they might be deaf, so I'll say it. I used to sign McDonald's, can fucky Thai chicken and Pizza Hut. Everyone would laugh. I had no idea why. 28 years old I was when I did that. 28 years old. No, that is not true. That is me adding that joke, which some of you will think is a Stuart Lee joke, apparently, because he's been doing it on his new show. But it's not. It's a Richard Herring and Stuart Lee joke. And Kate Park says, I thought Thuck the Catwalk was some kind of anti-fashion protest. Rock the Casbah. Fuck the Catwalk. Fuck the Catwalk. Or fuck the cat, as I said. Don't you think that would be a good condom? Okay. The problem is it would attract women. If you came out and it was a kitten on the end of your penis, women would be in, they would be in two minds, wouldn't they? Because they would go, oh, a little kitten, and then they'd come and stroke that.
Yeah.
Not knowing that inside there was
something
else.
Well, hang on, is the kitten dead or alive?
Well, I think it would have to be alive to be cute. Otherwise, if you just got out of dead. But, I mean, the kitten would be in some distress, I presume. Especially, it depends, again, on how big your penis is.
Because it would be a distraction. If I saw a kitten and someone's member,
I mean,
it just depends on the mood.
Well, you wouldn't see the member, but then once you came to have sex, if it worked, then the woman would... It'd be like the old woman who swallowed a fly, vaginally.
I don't think the kitten would stay... The kitten's got a mind of its own.
Well, not once it's stuck on the end of that.
Oh, God.
What?
So the taxidermy
headbands. We can talk about anything we want.
I just Googled taxidermy headbands, and there's blooming loads of them.
And so what are on there?
Bird feathers.
Well, that's all right, because birds' feathers can fall out of a bird without killing a bird.
Disgusting.
The animals might have died of natural causes.
Yeah, but why would you want a dead animal?
Nobody would wear that.
People buy
so that. Oh, so it's like an Alice band with a mouse stuck on top of it. I was sort of imagining mice stitched together and pushed around someone's head.
No.
It's an artistic...
It's a two mice piece.
Two mice on an Alice band is what I saw there, and they're sort of crawling along the Alice band, but they're dead.
Ooh.
I don't think that would... I mean, it's a good way to keep people away from you, I think. I mean, just generally, sort of having dead animals draped over you, I think you probably wouldn't get mugged very much or hit upon by anyone but very, very sick. Serial killers would be attracted to you because they love dead animals. That's how it starts, doesn't it?
Like a mouse to a red flag. Keep supporting Foo by Radio.
Doesn't even make any kind of sense. But that does not stop Lulu Sanders. And there's some more people have been getting in touch with songs they've misheard or things they misheard as a kid. This one reminds me of someone, Benjamin Mitrofan Norris, I think it is. Sorry, it's my eyesight's going. Says, now let us spray. Instead of let us spray.
Oh, yeah.
But I used to think there used to be a very old hymn, which is before your time in Victorian times, which was let us with a gladsome mind praise the Lord for he is kind. I thought it was like a lettuce with a gladsome mind. That's what I imagined rather than let us.
Yeah.
Lettuce, a kind of sentient lettuce that would praise the Lord because it was so glad it had a gladsome mind. I mean, gladsome is an odd enough word in itself.
They should have hymn sheets at school. There's all sorts of confusions going on.
Well, you know,
around.
But the thing is, like with that Lord of the Dance settee, I was the first time I sang that, I was not able to read. So you were taught the word, you were taught songs phonetically. You know, not necessarily phonetically, you knew words, but someone would tell you what to sing and then you would sing it. So that's why that came about, because it was like, I love dance songs wherever
get
you
one of the te- Do you get one of the teachers up there? Oh, no, actually, that's the same thing I was going to say, holding up the words.
You have to read it. Also, it's too late because it was 40 years ago now. So you'd have to, A, invent some kind of time travel system to go back. And then you'd have, well, just say to the child, listen to the children and then say, are you singing settee there? Because it's not settee. That would be stupid. And that is blasphemous and offensive to Jesus.
Mate, you've got an Edinburgh Show 2014 title out of it.
I'm very happy. And we've got, you know, at least 10 minutes of material out of that and this show, and if you divide that by the length of the show, you can work out how much both of us have earned.
I thought you were trying to sell tickets.
I am trying to sell tickets. I'm giving away all the best joke that I have. That is all
I
have.
When we were at school, we had a really cool teacher called Mrs. Brennan. She brought her guitar into the assembly.
Oh, yeah.
And she was saying, go down, Jonah, deep into the ocean. And we'd all, like, rock out to Bible songs. It was really pretty cool.
Yeah, well, that was cool. That'd be nice.
And everyone fancied her.
Did you fancy it?
I mean, I had a crush on her, but who knows whether it is. I think it was just a sort of admiration crush.
Yeah, well, that's, I mean, you would hope so when you're a child.
Sure. I mean, Richard, I was five, so it's pretty sexual.
Joe Webb says, my name is Joseph. Well, call yourself Joseph then, Joe Webb. When I attended my first primary school assembly, everyone sang Joseph, Joseph, Pharaoh's number two, or whatever the song is called from Jesus Christ Superstar. Is it not, I don't think it's Joseph, Pharaoh's number two, is it? Despite the incongruous lyrics, I thought everyone had secretly arranged to sing a song just for me for my first assembly.
Aww.
I was so overwhelmed, I couldn't stop crying. I was also confused as to why no one was looking at me while singing a song.
Oh, that is
no one specifically
so
paired
cute.
For me. I was an idiot. Ah, oh, that is lovely. So if you were a comedian, that you should write a routine about that. That would be very good.
Everyone's
Get dressed, ye merry gentlemen, says Benjamin Mitterfan Norris as well. He's put a couple in. Also, I was completely mystified by Good King Wenceslas, lass. Like I was singing a foreign language. I simply couldn't figure out how to separate the words, so it came out Good King Wenceslas, last looked out. Yeah, but I think a lot of Wency last. Mm. I really thought that Good King Wenceslas, last looked out. That is a good one. I'll nick that for the show. I had thought about that.
That's what you're doing. You're getting material.
Yeah, I'm trying to steal material off these idiots. They don't understand it. That's the only one that's usable, though. And it's only because I also thought of that myself.
Well, here's one from James Tarbitt. So hold your horses. He says, until I was 8 years old, I genuinely believed that Steve Miller Band had written a song about my Auntie Deborah called Abracadabra. I don't know how that sounds like Auntie Deborah, but I suppose
Auntie Deborah.
Abracadabra.
Jonathan Mock, I thought Fudge was full of peppery goodness. Well, you had finished. Don't talk over me. You wrecked Jonathan Mock's joke. You were like that heckler in Aldershot last night. Jonathan Mock. No, it's too late now. Jonathan Mock's going, no, I had my chance. Some people have half heard it. I thought, it's not that good. I thought A Finger of Fudge was full of peppery goodness. Don't know what it was. Full of Cadbury goodness, that's what it was.
Finger of fudge is just enough to give.
Now you've gone the wrong. That's the wrong tune. A finger of fudge is just enough to give. Oh, now you've messed up the thing. A finger of fudge is just enough to give your kids a treat. A finger of fudge is just enough until it's time to eat. It's full of peppery goodness and very small and neat. How much time can I fill up with just singing out adverts?
The best one was...
I'm just being like Peter Kay now.
The red car and the blue car. The red car and the blue car had a red... Do you know, when I was little...
This is just doing Peter Kay. We're just being Peter Kay.
When I was little...
All blue one to do is fill his face. I was an adult when that came out.
Me and my friend Jules, when we were kids... We were such penises. We used to do like a radio show, but we didn't do any talking or content. We just sang the adverts.
Well, it seems you've come back. You've come full circle. I'm doing the jokes I thought when I was 4 years old by accident, and you're coming back doing a radio show where you're singing adverts. What other adverts do you remember? Shaking back, but the fitness back.
No, the only one we knew, so we'd just sing the same one again and again. The thing is, we were about 11 at the time.
I've got a memory that I remember so many lyrics still from things like that. I was very good at learning stuff very quickly when I was a kid.
Mm.
And I still remember. I mean, I remember really obscure things, because what I'm trying to do, ideally, in my act, is to come up with references that only one person in the audience will get, rather than being Peter Kay and doing something that everyone gets.
Yeah.
Why not try and think of a thing that is real? It's like Pointless, but doing a comedy career.
That's where the money is, mate.
So I bet I'd like, if you remember this, email me in now. The Earth's a big blue marble when you see it from out there. The sun and moon declare its beauty is very rare.
Your face when you're singing it. Your face is
beautiful, isn't it?
It's you really putting your heart and soul into it.
That was a kid show called Big Blue Marble. It was a sort of documentary sort of thing for kids.
Okay, guess what this is. Do you remember this? When my man puts on blue stratos.
Yes, I do.
It was a blue, I don't need
that was
to
a cat.
Say a thing.
I vaguely remember that, so that doesn't count. So I don't think anyone remember. I don't think anyone remember Rocket Robin Hood. That is my other one.
Rocket Robin Hood.
No, it went band of brothers marching together, heads held high in all kinds of weather. But the gunning rockets rise above the earth, above the skies. When the boat, someone, there's one person listening. Go, I remember Rocket Robin Hood. And I want you to email in and you get a prize if you do. You have to genuinely remember it.
You can't
just email in and say, you have to be honest and say, I remember Rocket Robin Hood. Anyway, we'll play a record about someone else singing, not us singing. We've only got one choice here. Luckily, it's at the bottom there, but someone again has dropped the ball very much on the technical point of things. The previous three records still there in the system. What a disaster. This is whole show. I'll just have to play this. This is our...
Hey! It's just our first day.
It's our first day with this particular team, so that works out fine. And I like to blame them and make them feel... like they've done something wrong. They're fantastic. Simon particularly is a wonderful producer and has the ability to sack us, so we have to be careful.
And he'd be hot.
Is he hot?
He's hot. Very.
Don't know about that.
Jingle massive.
I like the way. Were you joining in there? I like the way you're joining in with your own. There's no real point in having got the jingles because you can just sing them. That was Beck with Sex Laws. Done the X. So he doesn't even know how to spell sex. I've actually had sex. Beck obviously has never had sex because he can't even spell it. And a little nice little banjo at the end of that. Did you enjoy that? It's not really.
What?
It was a banjo at the end. Ding, 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 ding.
Oh, yeah.
It's not really like Beck, his
I
usual
was saying
work.
No, because I used to listen to Beck years ago.
Did
and
you?
It was quite depressing. And I don't really like depressing music, so I don't know why I did it.
I don't really know who he is.
But now.
He's passed me by, Beck.
That seemed quite jolly. He looks like my friend Barney.
Oh, yeah, that's. And now I know who you mean.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah, he does look like Barney. I've no idea who Barney is. It's time. This is ridiculous. We could have been doing this all show.
Mm.
This is actually being recorded on Thursday. It's very unusual
what
for us.
What could
not live, but I've just noticed that we could do one live because I've had a gig that I thought I was doing that I'm not doing. So I'll let you know about that in a few weeks' time. We'll literally get a handover. Oh. We'll get a handover from Justin Lee Collins if we do that. Imagine that. But here is the
last
giggle.
News to me. News time.
I think it might be an awkward situation if we have to do that. Because I'll probably say something inappropriate.
He snogged my friend.
Has he?
Yep. And I don't know if he was married at the time.
Wow. Don't get him into more trouble. He's enough trouble already.
No, he was single. He's got
the surnames of two of my previous double act partners. So if I did a double act partner with him, I could be Lee and Herring and Collins.
Oh, yeah.
So I might try and sort that out. And we could both do sort of Somerset accents.
And when you think about Justin Lee Collins, he's probably a great guy. Hey, we were just trying to make our way in the world the best way we can.
Everyone deserves a second chance, but not a third chance, Lou. So just watch it. So anyway, it's the news. It's the news. God. I can't believe we're still on air. But we are. It's the news. What news stories have you noticed? Look, I'll play the news jingle again because we haven't played.
Well, that's news to me.
It's literally Thursday and we're a little bit behind you. So we don't know if the Malaysia aircraft has been discovered yet. You might know that in the future.
Find it.
I hope they find it soon.
Hey, have you got news stories? Because I said I've got news stories. What? And I said, oh, don't worry, I've got news stories, I said.
Well, I've got this for you. This is from the Daily Mail. It's not really for the programme. I just thought I'd get out for it. It's a Could You Be in Danger of Liver Disease feature that I think
like
you should fill
know.
That in.
I'd like to know. I'm on the straight and narrow now. The worst is behind us.
I really don't think so. I think the worst is ahead of us.
Can I just say, in the break, I said to Richard about this boy I stalked last night.
Yeah.
Because can I just say, I swear with my fiancé, but 6 weeks ago.
Yeah,
so
you've got
to spread
your wild oats a bit.
And I haven't done too much.
Make them put a condom on, or have a female condom.
It was a little snog, that was all it was.
Make them put a condom on their tongue.
Oh, my God. And I might be allergic. And
you're probably allergic to having a condom in your mouth. There are flavoured ones available, ladies and gentlemen.
Before we kiss, might you go to the machine? Anyway, and I said that to you in the break, didn't I? So it's funny because you knew who it was. So I said I had a little snog last night with this guy, and I said, "But I'm on the straight and narrow now. I'm not a woman on the edge."
Yeah.
And you said, "I doubt it."
I think there's at least 10 more years. I was a woman on the
and
edge.
Then you'll kill yourself.
I was right. No, then you'll die. I said, "I wouldn't kill yourself, but you will. Yeah. You will certainly die." Yeah. You're not going to make old bones, Lou. That's my.
Are you kidding me?
No.
I'm so healthy. I have super juices.
Yeah, you're like my cat Smithers, who's deaf and stupid and jumps out of windows. You're not deaf or stupid or a cat.
Where's your feminist?
And I have
you
never,
I've never put
a cat. That's not unfeminist to say you're stupid. That is feminist to be able to point out when a woman is deaf and stupid. That is a feminist thing.
The female Carl Pickens a bit less successful.
I'm saying you're not, not a cat. You've never been used as a condom on the end of anyone's penis like my cats are.
Oh my golly.
Clearly.
Oh my golly gosh.
I don't know if I'll be allowed to keep cats after this. This isn't really news, I have to say. But I think you saying, oh, it's all right, I'm over the worst of it now and I'm going to behave myself now. I think there's more bad behaviour to come.
And
I hope there is, Lou. You should behave badly. You're a young woman. London.
I'm but 24 years old.
They could do a sort of Ally McBeal style TV show about you.
Ally McBeal was not but 22 years old.
Except you're going out snogging loads of random blokes in it. And, that's fine.
They're not.
That's good.
I mean, I've no...
Well,
okay,
this is the news story that I recognise, which isn't from today. So we're wasting the topicality here.
Yeah.
It's in today's paper, the Daily Mirror, about the world's unluckiest jackpot winners, because someone's just won £108 million on the Euro Lottery. Which I'm very annoyed about, because I wanted to win that. Mm. And he thought he would win it, and he did win it. So that proves.
Do you think you want to win?
Well, I only want to win like one of the really big ones, because you know, then I can spend the money on like really big houses and stuff. I could buy you a house, Lou, if that happens.
Charity? Why don't I? Would
no? I wouldn't give a charity. I might start make a film studio or something, and make some of my.
You wouldn't give loads of it to charity if you won 108.
I'd give like.
You would give
50 quid to charity.
You'd give loads.
There are lots of people who've won the lottery have gone on to have terrible disasters, which is inevitable, really, because like, there's a young guy here, an 18-year-old boy, won £2 million in 1997, and then that puts a strain on you, doesn't it? And then he died, age 29.
Why?
He choked on his own vomit, by the looks of it. So, you know, you...
By the looks of it.
Well, it says the cause of death was inhalation of gastric contents. I think that means... choking on your own, being sick in your mouth, I think that means. But, you know, that's inevitable. If I'd been given £2 million when I was, it's not inevitable, but if I'd been given £2 million when I was 18, you're going to go off the rails and you're going to enjoy yourself.
But then
it changes your life so much, doesn't it?
But then part of our press is to sort of be like, oh, you know, to take them down, like celebrate and then...
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of options where people have won £5 million and had a wonderful time.
We're not reading about them in America.
Jack Whittaker in America, he won £203 million. He'd already had $10 million.
Wow.
£10 million. He was a businessman, company president. So that's annoying. It's pretty annoying if someone with £10 million enters the lottery at all. So I'm glad his life went to shit, although unfortunately...
What happened to him?
It wasn't very nice. He was beset by legal and personal problems. He began drinking heavily.
Oh, no.
Thieves stole £327,000 from his car as it was parked outside a strip club. So he had £327,000.
Well, the second bit of that, I think. Well.
He gave his beloved granddaughter Brandy £1,200 a week, bought her 4 new cars and gave her and her mother a luxury home. In 2004, Brandy's boyfriend died of a drug overdose.
Oh.
3 months later, Brandy was found dead, wrapped in a plastic sheet and dumped behind a van. She was 17.
That's awful.
So, and then he died 3 years later. And his daughter died 3 years later. And then he's being sued. He's got no money left. He's being sued. So
that is a horrible story, Richard.
Yeah, so that's what happens. But he was rich already, so it just goes to show he probably would have been a dick, whatever had happened.
Well, I never did.
So all sorts of terrible things happen. Would you like to win £107 million?
Yes, I'd give a lot to the kids' company. I think they are amazing.
Yeah.
I'd give a lot to sex traffic victims, like the A21 company.
Yeah.
Then I'd sort all my family and friends out. Then I'd
Am I one of your friends? Would you give me some?
No, I'd give the family and friends the ones that need it. You're okay. You love working. You're working all the time, every day. You love it.
I don't know. We'll be back with more news, but I now want to play a song by Warpaint, who are my favourite band, especially like their... I hope we're going to play Disco/Very, because that is my favourite one of theirs. Oh, great, it is that one.
Richard Herring on FUBAR Radio.
With Lou Sanders.
Hi.
What's going on?
I've got stories.
Okay,
yeah,
let
sure.
me just play the news jingle as well, because, you know, good...
Well, that's news to me.
What's news in the time. News?
Well, I got a little domestic story, as is my way.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the news is quite depressing.
It is quite depressing today, unfortunately.
Mums-to-be. This is a poem. She had a baby shower and she asked gifts from her friends, but even the ones that weren't there.
Yeah.
Right, so I'll just read out the poem. It's just so awful. And by the way, I know I had a feature called Buy Me a House, but that was not for my friends. Okay. We're also sorry you missed a shower. There was fun and games to be had. The food and drinks, not too bad. The loot was a plenty. We looked high and low and found none from you, not even a shiny penny. Babies need a lot of this fact we know. So we've included some shops below. If none are to your liking and that we understand, then grab a pen and get to writing. For checks are to our liking. Oh, my God. And then guess who didn't, like, meet her demands? She sent a poem to people that, like, gave her a gift but not off the list.
Right.
So telling them to fix their situation. So here's the poem that she sent to them.
Wow, I like the fact she puts it in poem form. That's sugars
something.
The blow.
Sugars the blow, is it?
That works.
Yeah. We loved seeing you at the shower. Remember how the gifts they did tower? We sorted them for hours. Upon sifting and sorting, we noticed something amiss, for your gift didn't match the list. To fix your situation, we listed our stores below, but a check could also help us flow.
What?
That's amazing.
So they've sent a present and then they're saying, we don't like the present you've sent. Can you go and can you get a proper present for us? Thank you. Goodbye.
It's amazing.
That is an awful way to behave. But, you know, people get very grabby at weddings and things. And a baby shower as well. That's not, I don't like that. That's kind of an American thing that's snuck in.
Yeah, baby showers are gross.
Like, you know, it's expensive having a baby, but think about that before you have a baby.
Yeah.
And then make sure you've got enough money to be able to use a condom, like I said. Pay a bit of money on condoms.
Exactly.
And then if you do that, or cat, just use a small kitten or a cat if you can't find a condom. And then you won't have to have this problem. And then make sure you are ready to pay for it yourself and don't have a go at your friends who've decided not to have children.
Ridiculous.
In a way, they've let down all their ancestors. If you die childless, you're a full stop at the end of a sentence, a continuous shagging that goes right back to the first amoeba. All of your ancestors have made it and you've let them down.
Well, I pretty much second that, mate.
Do procreate, because, you know, we need, once China and everyone get going, we're going to need all the soldiers we can get.
Ooh, don't get me going on China.
So, you know, make sure you have strong male children that will be able to fight and protect me as I'm an old man.
I've lost interest suddenly.
Okay.
It's like a Julia Davis character, isn't it?
It is a little bit, yes.
Yeah. The other thing I looked up is...
maybe if you write poems about buying you a house, then people will buy you a house.
Okay, I'll go for one now. I'll just add a little bit. Hey, guys. I sing the start. Hey, guys. please, can I have a two-bedroom house in Kentish Town? Because how else am I going to get around? Oh, I forgot.
Get around? You can get a car.
We'll
buy you a small bicycle.
How else am I going to get around my situation?
Ah, good. All right.
It's all right. I found a lovely house to move into anyway.
Have you?
Yeah, so everyone can relax.
But it'd still be nice to buy you a house. So far, I'll just check. I've got the figures here. How much so far has been pledged and what you have to do for it. Oh, zero. But nobody has emailed in at all about that.
People have emailed in to say they won't do it.
Yeah, that has happened.
Let's not forget that. Okay, the other thing I looked up was chat up lines, which is on the Metro website.
Yeah.
These are...
Great paper, the Metro, especially on a Friday.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to read out some of my favourite chat up lines from this.
Sure.
There's a big sale in my bedroom right now. Clothes are 100% off. Yeah, that's good. Iranian genius. I like that. Okay. Baby. I'll do it in a sexy voice. Baby.
I think it's nice to leave some clothes on, though. You know, I think it should be clothes at 85% off, but I'm going to keep my socks on.
You're doing it right. here's another one, a sweet one.
Yeah.
Baby, if you were a fruit, you'd be a fine apple.
Do you like...
Pananama.
Do you like fruit?
Yes.
Or suck my cock, it's a peach. That's a better chat up line.
That's horrible.
Do you like chicken? No, you don't.
Rich hasn't done chat-up lines since the 80s, and that kind of thing is more acceptable.
That's a Sid the Sexist chat-up line. I don't think chat-up line... I mean, do some more, and then we'll talk about
whether... What was your one you were just going
to
do?
What I was going to do, do you like chicken, but you have to say yes.
Yes.
Then suck my cock, it's foul.
That's
Sid the Sexist.
Me and my friend, Sally Freeman, who's amazing, we would go to festivals when we were younger, and we'd do a load of poppers, and we thought it was so funny.
Don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs, but poppers are fun. And they kill brain cells now, look at me, so don't do drugs. And we used to go, we would do like really like horrible chat-up lines to guys. We thought if you, here was our barometer of whether a guy was for us or not. So we said to them, if a girl was giving you fellatio, and in the middle they stopped, looked up and said, "Tastes like chicken." Would you think it was funny? And the ones that didn't think it was funny, we did not sort of.
Right, okay.
Not that we were going to give them a bit.
But you asked, that was the opening question to them.
I was like, all right.
Well, that's, I'd say, what do you want me to say? I'll say whatever you want me to say.
I mean, but we
start doing it and we'll find out.
No, we were clear that was not, you didn't win a fellatio.
I think you did. That's very clear. That is entrapment. Yeah, go on.
This is from Roofies. That's the job.
Roofies?
The different categories.
That's a different kind of chat-up line, a roofie. That's for somebody who can't think of a chat-up line.
But I mean builders, okay?
Okay, so roofers, yes.
Yeah. Are you an angle from heaven? Because you're a cutie. A cutie. Doesn't really work. Any words written down. You're so beautiful, you made me forget my pickup line. Okay, I'm going to get a better one.
They're all bad because...
Okay, here's mine.
Because the thing is, you feel like they're all just something that someone's prepared. You want to come in with something that you're not expecting that's about you. It's like a heckle put down, a chat-up line. It needs to... If you just have, oh, this is what happens when cousins marry, people know that's a line.
Yeah.
Isn't it terrible when someone builds a comedy club around you? People know. If you can deal with the particular what's happening in an interesting way, then that's... But if you just come and go, oh, you've fallen from heaven because you must have hurt
unless
yourself.
Unless you're really funny and doing ironic.
But also, it's just a way of getting in, isn't it? Yeah. If you're good-looking, you can do what you want.
Yeah, not funny.
So if you're really good-looking, you come in and go, oh, I'd like to have sex with you. Yeah. I'd like to have sex with you too. Let's have sex. But if you look like me, you need to think of something really funny.
Do what exactly? That's...
But I never, did. I don't think I'd
wait. The chicken one isn't, the peach one is not going
to. No, I didn't do those. But I'd never used them. I found it very difficult to talk to women. I'd wait for them to approach me. I waited quite a long time. But I was better with speaking. So I didn't like going to nightclubs because I don't look like much. And at night, and I can't really dance. And you know, I'm a bit short and a tiny bit overweight. And just a touch. And, you know, so that in a club environment, that's not going to work. If I can't speak to them and be funny.
Yeah.
But if I could speak to them and be funny. So I prefer
then
going.
Bam.
Yeah, hands everyone. Off. Absolutely all of them. Bang.
Here's my, do you 100%. Want to hear my chat up lines?
Yeah.
So I can remember. Okay. Hey, is your middle name Stabilio? Because you're the highlighter of my day.
No, it's Keith.
Then I've got nothing. I back off. I just back off. Okay, here's another one. Hey, are you a hairdresser? Because you're a real head turner.
Are these your own ones? Are you sure?
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Yeah, thanks. I know. They've
I think you're on the right lines. If I was giving you a blowjob, if you start that, I was giving you cunnilingus and halfway through I stopped to give you a diamond ring, what would you think about that? That's a good start. What if I wrote a cheque for £400,000 for you?
Oh, my God. That's terrible.
That would be good because you're setting out your stall. A, I'm going to give you cunnilingus, and B...
Oh, my God. I'm so depressed with the modern world.
Are you?
Well, no, let's not talk about that.
We can talk about everything
let's
you like.
Let's talk about that.
They've discovered a new dinosaur. Have you seen this one, The Last of the Dinosaurs? It's like a big bird, but it's one of the last dinosaurs that was alive before the meteorites hit and destroyed them. Well, apart from the ones that survived in bird form. But this wasn't actually a bird. It was like a massive 6-foot-tall thing they put together. Do you like dinosaurs?
I'm interested to hear more.
It was a contemporary of the Tyrannosaurus Rex, which I think was also one that. I might be wrong about that. I'm just making this out of my head from what I heard on the radio yesterday. I used to love dinosaurs when I was a kid. What was your favourite dinosaur?
The purple one.
Barney.
Barney.
Because I was that kind of kid. I liked dinosaurs and castles and stuff like that. So I was
that
a nerd.
Kind of kid.
That's a nerdy kid, isn't it? That you get really...
No, all boys like dinosaurs.
No, they're not. My 5-year-old boys who are clever kind of go, oh, I like Brontosaurus and Stegosaurus and Pterodactyls. But I bet you weren't that interested in dinosaurs. I had a PG Tips book of... You know, do you remember PG Tips?
Yes, I do.
They used to have like little cigarette cards where they were tea cards.
No, I don't.
They used to, in each pack of tea.
Yeah.
I remember before even tea bags came out. That's how old I am.
Yeah.
I can remember my mum buying boxes of tea, like little that were tea, and then you would have to put that in something yourself and make that yourself. And inside there, there'd be one or two. Sometimes they'd make a mistake. You get two little cards, and then you could send away for an album, stick them all in. Never quite got. You'd always have one that you didn't.
It's turned
very Peter Kay. This whole thing has turned very Peter Kay.
Did you get really excited when they made a mistake? Like I did as well. Like once I had a Twix, and half of the Twix was like pure chocolate without the biscuit. And I was like, man, they fucked up it.
Well, that's better. I had Trio like that. Do you remember the Trio?
Yeah, but it's better. Then we think,
the biscuit.
Why don't you just have that? Was that not that,
well,
they
should. Well, that's well, it sort of then can remember. Because a Trio was a biscuit and it was three things. It was chocolate and then a sort of caramelly bit on the top. But the biscuit was the worst bit of
it. They could call it Twix No Bix.
I mean, don't give people ideas like that. That's fantastic.
This is going to buy me a house.
Was it nice then without, I guess it's just like a caramel.
Well, I think it's, you always want what you can't have, you know.
Well, you had it.
You got it, but not the whole thing, isn't it?
Well...
Should we play a song?
Yeah, let's... I feel we're flagging. So we'll play some LaRue. Danny LaRue is the next singer. He's changed a bit. He's moved in a new direction. Remember Danny LaRue?
It's lost on me.
Why am I so old? Why can't I live forever? No...
Fubar.
giving radio the finger.
I think we should put you in on all the songs. we'll give you a go on all of them. I can do better. Put it back. So we've been asking people to send in things they misheard as a child. For example, Gordon Russell says, I did used to think a line from Eleanor Rigby referred to all the lonely pea pods. That is the kind of thing we're looking for.
Unfortunately.
That was very good. What you got? You had one there?
No, I did like that. Yeah, Bradley's emailed in. My friend Anna Quinton's mum thought the lyrics to And I Miss You Like the Desert's Mr. Rain was, oh, damn, it's you, the desert, Mr. Rain. The desert, Mr. Rain.
Alan Russell, this is quite convoluted. A friend used to call Swarf Eager. Remember Swarf Eager?
No.
It's a kind of soap-like thing you wash oil off your hands with, used by mechanics and people with oil on their hands, generally. He used to call Swarf Eager Baby Feager because he'd misheard his dad, thought it was Small Feager.
Hmm.
So that's quite a leap. Odd family, he says there. Any more? For any more?
Nah.
Had enough?
Nah.
And we've done it. We've done it to death, really.
Let's move on, mate.
Let's move it on. So do you want to play He Said, You Said, What You Said, They Said, Hello, What Is That That You Said?
What did they say? Who said it and who are they?
This is another of Lou's fantastic features.
Main thing is, I'm having a great time.
As long as you're enjoying yourself. That's what we're here for. Just do the coughs, you know, during the song.
Okay. Here's a quote.
Yep.
You have to guess who it's from.
Okay, it's an impossible game.
I guess I'm going to fade into Bolivian.
I'm going to fade into Bolivian. Oh, instead of Oblivion. I mean, this is quite apt for this. Well, I mean, you know, it's someone who's stupid who is probably going to fade into Oblivion anyway. So.
And clue, it wasn't me.
Wow, that makes it a lot harder. I'm going to fade into Bolivian. I think that was... I'm going to go for Jade Goody.
No, it's not Jade Goody.
No, it's always Jade Goody.
I wouldn't...
You wouldn't pick on someone who was dead?
I wouldn't.
Why not? Because why would you pick on someone who's alive? They're here to hear it.
Wait till you hear who it is and then you'll think,
Is it Adolf Hitler?
Has he been convicted for something quite nasty? Yes. Does he think no means yes?
Stuart Hall?
No.
Okay. Who was it?
Is his first name Mike Tyson?
Yeah. Oh, Mike Tyson. Yes, yeah. That's even worse. It's not even quite nasty. That's even worse than nasty. Yes.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean, the worst crime.
Yeah, but he didn't fade into Oblivion. He was in Hangover 3.
That was what really annoyed me about that film. Yeah. So upsetting that they would put someone in there and make a joke of it.
Yeah.
It was the most sexist, horrible film ever. Oh, It's not comedy. It's not
I didn't get that far into the franchise.
It's horrible. Okay, Alex Reed.
Yeah.
But I do really love Zach Galifianakis. I love him.
Okay. You just told me who it was, didn't you? Shall I try and guess what he said? I like being inside Jordan.
No.
I'm going on a holiday.
Actually, this was non-mysterious. There's two mystery ones, one that I just wanted to read out because it's so funny. And you will get it because I thought I made a mistake there, but actually I didn't.
Okay, good. That's good to know.
Forget about Alex Reed, the celebrity. I never wanted to be famous for being famous. I'm a cross-dressing cage fighter monkey boy. That's what he's probably saying. Yeah.
That's good. Okay. So give me one more.
One more. This is brilliant. This is someone from a boy band.
Okay. Robbie Williams.
No. Modern boy band, if you can get your head around that.
I'll take that. Pretty modern. What are you talking about?
And
the Beatles.
They're really like nice and they're always like... can't do enough for fans and everything.
Yeah.
But this one day, this guy from this boy band said to all the fans waiting, you absolute shower of cunts.
Is it Ronan Keating?
No,
they're
younger.
Quite nice.
I think younger than that.
I don't know any of the new ones. New Kids on the Block.
No, he's from One Direction.
One Direction.
I wouldn't really have got that.
I know Harry Styles.
If you'd said One Direction, you would have got half.
I didn't get any points. I enjoyed that spoof video that We Don't Know What Water Is. Have you seen that? Someone does a spoof of We Don't Know What Water Is.
That sounds good.
Running away from water. So just put that in Google, have a look. Someone else's joke. I don't want to nick it. I was just saying. So you wanted to talk. We got like a few more minutes to fill before the end of this. It's flown by this week. It's almost like we've been in 2 hours this week for some reason.
So, I will tell you what I was saying in the break about I'm obsessed with this girl called Kelly Azdet.
Who is she?
She's a friend of a friend. I've never met her, but we are Facebook friends now.
Right.
And so my friend tells me,
you're not going to say anything horrible about her.
No, I love her. Okay. I want to be her friend. But she's amazing. Her and my friend Georgie went, they had a weekend somewhere, and she was saying to people, it was in Brighton, and she was saying to people, she was wearing Le Boutons that her ex-husband bought her.
Okay.
And she was like going to everyone, we're just a couple of posh ladies. We're a couple of posh ladies. Where can a couple of posh ladies go for a posh bar, for a posh drink? We're just a couple of posh ladies. And I love her so much, asking people. And then another thing, because I'm often with Georgie when she phones up. Yeah. I really want to be her friend. She sounds amazing. She said, Georgia, I met a guy in Lewis Carpets. His name's Mickey Wonder. Met him in Lewis Carpets. We're both looking at carpets. You know him, don't you? Mickey Wonder, you know him. Georgie's like, I don't know him. Yeah, he's friends with Simon Cusson. You know him. When she Facebook friended me up, it was the best day of my life.
Yeah. Well, she sounds great. I think you will be. I think you'll be good friends.
So.
I think that'll work out well. So I can tell you quite a lot about next week's show.
Please.
Although we'll do a bit more chatting before we get to the very end. Our guest is going to be Ray Peacock. He's going to be talking about the drugs that he's taken in his life. He's going to be talking about.
Does he say it on air? About
he does. Yeah, wow. He talks. He's going to talk about having seen your vagina.
Oh, that was a low moment for both of us.
He's going to talk about.
Oh, he hasn't seen it in that context. He's seen it in a professional
context.
No,
we don't. These are little.
Hang on. I see
teasers to get people listening next week.
He saw it in a professional context and he didn't actually see it.
That's kind of worse than it's a professional context.
He didn't see it.
He saw it during my...
He didn't see it.
It was an unfortunate accident that probably... We'll see. Well, let's not talk about it yet because people haven't... We'll talk about it in 2 weeks' time. Well,
yeah.
And he'll be talking about my own hypocrisy basing... We had a long discussion about posters in Edinburgh. I think it'll be quite dull for most normal people. And there's all sorts of fun stuff coming up next week. So we know because we've already done it. So
it was great,
you're going
actually.
To Switzerland. What are you going to do in Switzerland next week?
Gigs.
Whereabouts in Zurich, Geneva?
I've got no idea.
In the Alps?
No idea. They book everything. So I asked for the itinerary because I need to know what to wear.
I did those a few.
Did you like them?
Yeah, it was good fun. I did with John Richardson. It was before John Richardson was as famous
boy.
As he is now. So it was pretty good. I this week will be going on tour, as I said, to Hull and Cardiff on Saturday and Sunday. I'm in Didcot on Friday, but the people of Didcot love me so much that is sold out. I'm doing my last Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast on Monday.
One.
Well, of this series. With Nick Helm, you know, lovely Nick Helm, you know him.
Sure.
And John Ronson, the Guardian journalist who wrote...
I've worked with John Ronson.
The Men Who Stare at Goats. And also next Wednesday, it's the Chortle Awards.
Oh, yeah.
Which I'm up for, so we'll...
You're up for them.
I'm up for the
also,
best internet. And then I'm in Leeds, which is sold out. Salford, which is sold out. Chorley, which I think is sold out. And then Glasgow, which I think there are some tickets
for. Quick plug for me, if you don't mind, if there's two people listening.
Yeah.
I'm doing a preview at the Camden Head. I don't know which day. I think it's...
Speak into the microphone, then they'll be able to hear about it.
I think it's on Monday. I'm doing a preview where it's just...
Well, you know, it's no good if you say, I think it's on Monday.
Check
that is,
out the
just come
website.
Just come to the Camden Head on Monday and maybe Lou will be there.
Check out my website, why don't you?
If you're looking for a snog, just give her a couple of drinks. I think you've got
Richard, that's really low. I've just been divorced. Really having a nice time.
There genuinely is a chance, that's what I'm saying.
Listen, I'm a modern woman. out on the town. If you don't mind.
I don't mind. So it's been lovely speaking with you. There was a story in the Mirror about a man who had his penis cut off or something. His wife tried to cut off his penis, which sounds like a funny story, but then when you read it, it's not really funny. Well, because it's not funny. It's kind of weird that John Wayne Bobbitt and stuff is like a joke subject when you think actually what it's about, because it's horrible in both directions. I don't think he was a particularly pleasant man, but it's still not nice to cut off someone's appendage, is it? Why is that a funny thing? That is the thought that I will leave you with. Until next week, and in fact until 2 weeks really, because I might come back and talk about it again in 2 weeks' time. We're going to leave you with Simple Minds. They are still alive and kicking. That's amazing that they're still going. Thanks to Simon and whoever it was who messed up all the stuff. They're not our regular team. Well, we're back with the regular, efficient team.
Can I say my good catchline?
Yeah, you've got 10 seconds.
Keep being nice to everyone, guys.
I'm glad you worked that out. Thanks very much. See you next time. It's a great one next week. We know. Bye.
Bye.